It's The Huddle. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 101.3TheGame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Woo! Ready to go, boys.
No, you're not. You want to get in a boat and cruise around the lake
now. I spent a lot of time in the midday today sitting in front of that lake, running along the bike path and seeing. You're starting to see people getting out there now, and so it's getting to the point where I want to figure out how to make myself one of those people.
You're not hoity-toity enough
to have a boat.
I know some pretty drunk, crazy people who like to boat a lot.
I can't even see you wearing boat shoes, nevertheless being a boat guy.
What's a boat shoe?
Boat shoes are like fancy shoes.
They're like topsiders.
Yeah, topsiders that you don't wear socks with.
Penny loafers, stuff like that.
Oh, no, no. I've got my sneakers, and that's enough for
you. You're not a boat guy.
No, you're not. Did the sun scramble your brain?
Yeah, it was really
Richard, before the show, Rich was like, I think I'm going to join a yacht club.
No.
And did you win the lottery? Because you didn't pay for your car, but you're joining a yacht club.
No, but here's what happened was I was called into the other room, into one of our many plush production studios here in the mansion at the fort.
Right.
And I did a commercial for a boat group.
So you sold yourself.
Well, I was hoping since I read it, maybe I'd get a discount. But so I read the thing, and as I'm reading it, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that sounds like it'd be kind of fun.
Take a boat out.
I remember we used that group last year
for
the boss's midsummer bash, and I thought, wow, what a cool thing. You basically...
You pay
a membership fee, and you can just go out in any of their boats at any time.
Yeah, it's not even a knock on you. You don't have the money. Neither one of us have the money either. But you're just not a boat guy. Easy Thurston Howell III.
I curse away.
I don't see you wearing a dopey hat with a little bill on it. I don't see you in a sweater with a scarf wrapped around it. I don't see it.
I dated someone who had a boat a few years back. And I'll tell you what, that was fun. Every Saturday, go out and just raise hell on the boat, which is, of course, highly illegal.
And I also think that the yacht community wouldn't appreciate your endless Marillion dance parties until 1 in the morning.
I told you my wife's family was voted the yachting family of the year at Western New York.
See, he's just making that.
No, that's true.
There can't be something called that.
Yes, there is something called. They might have been multiple winners, as a matter of fact. But it runs in my blood, then, I guess is what I'm saying.
This is one of those things where, as I'm reading the commercial and doing the production on it, I'm thinking to myself, if I do this really well, maybe we could figure out some sort of a deal.
You're better off just saying to our listeners, hey, Town Fair Tire text line, who has a boat and wants to hang out with me for a day?
And wants to water ski.
What kind of boat? So you want like a speedboat?
Right, I want a water ski.
No, I would just do a pontoon and just kind of, put around the lake and just have fun.
Do
a little fishing. I don't need to go crazy or anything
that. Just something that gets me out onto the lake and, gets you down to places like Westport and Addison and... places like that.
Andrew said sweater and a scarf.
Yes, because like Thurston Howell III would have a little golf sweater, and then you could wear a little scarf with it.
Do you
an ascot? Maybe that's a bit. Ascot, I guess, is better.
You're going to things I don't know what you're talking about.
An ascot is like a handkerchief that you wear as a
neck in Caddyshack,
like in Scooby Doo with Fred from Scooby Doo.
Oh, my dog wears one of those, but that's only after he gets his haircut.
I was just thinking of a boat. I'm not thinking of trying to look upscale. Yeah. How am I going to do that?
Yeah, but Shane's right. This is the quote. Everybody says this. The two best days are the day you buy a boat and the day you sell it.
I know. Everybody that I've ever gone out on a boat with has said this is a lot of work. It's like basically getting a dog.
What do they say boat stands for? What's that?
I have no idea.
Something on bring on another 1,000.
Oh, is that what it is?
How about this? Since I'm less hoity-toity than you, maybe I want to join a golf club now. I want to join a country club.
What is wrong with you guys?
I played 9 holes at Essex Country Club today.
And
I feel like I was bad, but I feel like I could be a member there. I could afford that. I
love it out there. I'll be driving along on those back roads, and all of a sudden there's a golf course out there. It's like West Bolton. It's just out in the middle of nowhere on a dirt road.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. I played her. I played nine holes. Yep. I played at 8 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Got there at 7:45 and played nine holes. Was back. Was into work by 10. But that 2 hours or hour and 40 I was playing, not so good.
Are you like Judge Snails and you threw the club? No, that's how you slice it.
Wait, that was some old lady on the 7th.
802-655-6672. The people, and I know Shane in Burlington's texting in right now. He's a golfer. I need one of two things to happen. And they're going to need to happen pretty quickly here for me in order to have a golf game. One, someone needs to fix my slice. I lost a ball.
Oh, yeah.
I lost a ball on almost every hole just on the tee shot. So one, someone give me the link to a YouTube video, a tutorial, something on how to fix the slice.
Do you count that as a stroke if you can't find it?
Depends on how the rest of my round.
I would just put it. I just put it where I kind of think it is, and I say, "Oh, here it is. Here it is. I found it."
I got a funny story about my slice. That's all I do is just hit the ball, and it just slices massively. Right, at Wilcox Cove. I was telling you up in Grand Isle. It's this little pitch and putt place that doesn't exist anymore. But it's I would stand literally to the left and drive the ball onto right at people on another fairway because I knew the ball was going to curve all the way around and land right on the green.
And did it work?
Yes. But, I mean, it would terrify all the old ladies coming up the other green or the other fairway.
Someone needs to fix my slice and help me do that. Or I need to only play on courses where there are gigantic open fairways. Because here's what happens. Essex Country Club, really nice course. Yeah. I enjoy playing there.
Right.
But it's skinny fairways and a lot of woods. Right. So when you slice it, that ball is gone. The other day, I played with my dad up in Ticonderoga, completely open. I was hitting the ball so far to the right, it was on the other fairway of other holes.
Yes.
However, I was able to find it, locate it, and then continue on.
Right.
How long did it take you to play this morning, nine holes?
An hour and 40.
That's not bad. Nice. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all. But
if I have to go more than 4 hours and 18 holes, I'm driving right the hell off. I can't do that.
So, Brady, you went golfing. I went running. Arnie, how did you spend this beautiful day?
I don't remember what the hell. I didn't do anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, I just kind of sat home and just watched TV and get ready for the show. Somebody had to work on the show.
How could any human being sit at home and watch TV as a choice today? It's 75 and perfect.
I went out, went for a little walk, but somebody had to write things out. Somebody had to take care of the show today. So I guess that person would have to be me.
Oh, look at the text line. Boy, the golfers are
coming
out.
Yeah, acronym, it's a boat. It is bet on another 1,000 or break out another 1,000.
And Milo in North Troy says, Rich, the word discount and boat never go in the same paragraph.
That's true.
I told you guys we needed a boat. I had a boat in Dallas for my radio station that they got. We would take it out. I told you we needed the 101.3 boat. And you guys laughed at me back then when I brought that up.
Can we just do a jet ski instead?
Oh,
can we
have absolutely.
Can't we have something cooler?
We could really piss off the neighbors.
You can't even rent jet skis in this state, I don't think. I think you could do it in Plattsburgh, but I looked into it. It's like $100 for an hour.
Do we have like a marina that sells jet skis and boats and everything like that where you could just pull up and walk around and go, hey, there's one for sale?
I don't know.
Out by Mallet's Bay, Sabas out there. Yeah.
But they sell jet skis?
I have no idea, but they certainly sell boats.
I felt like I looked at renting a jet ski, and I couldn't do it for, unless it was 3 hours away from here.
Don't we have a boat show in this town?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, there's marinas around here.
No, like where people come in for the weekend.
Yeah, I think they used to have them, but of course, just like everything else, it probably got canceled.
What are you laughing at?
Text line.
Isaac.
Name your boat. The puddle.
Instead of the huddle?
Oh, I get it.
Puddle. That is good. And Mike in Plattsburgh is really trying to give me really good swing advice. Bottom line, I think, is I swing it like a baseball bat. And I had a bad day today, but I actually am okay. Like if we play best ball or something,
right.
I could really hold my own well there. Because occasionally I'll have a great drive. I can chip decently well, putt. I mean, I'm very, very average to below average, but I could hold my own in a lot of things. But today with the skinny fairways, the slice was bad. The fairway, I couldn't find a ball after every hole. It felt like I was losing a ball. So I need wide open fairways. I need to be screaming out four and letting the people on the hole next to me worry. Let them hit and then let me go back to the middle of their fairway, hit back across. That's what I need.
We'd have to have a contest. I'm all for that. I don't even really play, and I'm all competitive.
Sort of like the one-mile sprint that you suggested yesterday.
I have everybody says I'm the favorite in that.
Everyone.
You and I. Well,
give me one name.
My wife said that.
Thanks, Beth.
Speaking of things, by the way, number one, I do want to set up some kind of huddle listener golf day.
Yes, yes.
Sounds good to me.
It's early on, but I want to do that. But Arnie, we did the research.
Yes.
Sean Parker and I were talking today.
Yes, yes.
Remember our bet we made yesterday? You said...
Yes, above 70 degrees.
So you said every single day from now until...
August.
No, from
end
now
of August.
Until Labor Day.
Oh, I said the end of August. I didn't say Labor Day.
End of August are sort of the same thing.
Yes, but there's a three-day difference.
There's 3 days difference there.
So you said it would be a high of 70 degrees every single day between
yesterday... At least 70 or higher, yes. Yes.
Between yesterday and the end of August.
Yes, or I would buy lunch.
Sean Parker says, last year there were only 3 days below 70 degrees in June and none in July or August.
Wow. I'll still make that bet.
But, wow. I'm on to something
here. I mean, it was 28 the other day.
I didn't even know that.
Sean Parker also says the end of May last year was cold. He says, your bet sparked my interest, so that's the research. He goes, I would bet with you, though, that there is at least one day below 70.
I should have said two.
Are you still willing to make that
deal? I'm going to buy lunch. I'm going to buy lunch.
I still want to do that one-mile race. I mean, talk about taking food and money away from someone.
Yeah, I've let myself get out of shape. I got to get myself back into shape.
Kyle and Colchester, which characters would we be on Gilligan's Island?
Oh, I'm the professor, no doubt about
that.
Professor is fit and good-looking.
You're the skipper.
I got to be the fat guy now, the skipper.
I guess I'd be Gilligan, the dolty one.
And I get to be the professor.
Yeah, there's not too much to choose from there.
Thurston Howell's the only guy left, isn't he?
Our boss, John, with the boat membership. Yeah.
Do you ever wonder where those people went to bathroom?
I wonder a lot of other things,
I assume the lagoon.
Did they ever hook up? That's what I wanted to know.
I'm sure they did. You know, if you look up the stars, the people that made appearances on Gilligan's Island, like Kurt Russell and all those guys.
Kurt Russell, he must have been two.
I think it was one of him. Did I get that one wrong?
Was it Bill Russell?
No, not an athlete.
Bill Russell, Kurt Russell, same guy.
They used to have a bunch of people that would come and get off the island.
Trust me, I watched that show religiously. Zsa Zsa Gabor, I remember, was in it.
Was she? I don't remember that.
All those people got on the island and they all managed to get off.
I think Boris Karloff put in an appearance for one episode.
Jeez. I'd be upset every time somebody got off and it wasn't going
to
be me.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to find out celebrity cameos.
Oh, by the way, if we do the golf thing, I think we should do a four-day tournament and play it and just take the 4 days off work.
Of course.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just like a real golf tournament.
And make sure it's on a week where Monday is a vacation.
Yes,
anyway.
Exactly. If we're going to do it, let's do it
You know what? We used to always have a 101.3 ESPN at the time golf day tournament with everybody out at Rocky Ridge. Yeah.
I would
this
love
was
that.
An annual event.
I would love that.
Well, that stopped when I got here.
Arnie, get on that. No, I'd go out there and just hit the ball into the woods every shot.
That's another place where you can lose some balls. However, there's some openness there. So at one point I had a pink ball today because I had a pink ball in my bag because I have some recycled balls that I use and I think I'm going to hit them into the woods. So I had the pink ball. I'm like, okay, I'm going to end up losing this. Here's the funniest part of my day today. So there was water on hole three. It was like 325 yards. And I hit it I used a 3-wood. I hit it like 180 or so.
Right.
Then I used a club. I was going to try to lay it up in front of the water. And then on the next club, hit it over the water. So I hit it, evidently, into the water on that second shot. Then I went out and I saw a ball right on the edge of the water. Oh, that must be my ball. That must be my ball. It wasn't, but I still grabbed it out. I played that one, hit that one into the water, and then just walked across the bridge to
So you
front.
Played somebody else's ball?
And lost it.
Isn't that like a no-no? Isn't that like punishable by death?
I wasn't playing with anyone. It was a ball that someone had evidently just left because they hit it into the water.
Either that or it was their drive from another tee.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys would like playing with me. I don't keep fair score.
That would be a blast.
Yeah, not the way I play.
Golf was my dad's obsession, golf and basketball, and it was two sports I sucked at. I never got any good at either of them.
I'm from the Bronx, New York. We were too poor to watch golf on TV, so I certainly didn't learn how to play it.
Well, Alex in Moncton has several suggestions for you, by the way. I love the way the ideas are pouring in now. See, this proves that people would rather talk about golf than the friggin' Patriots.
Wow!
We got lots of stuff today on the Patriots.
Do.
We've been holding off on Patriots talk.
We have?
We've had so much Patriot stuff that Arnie wanted us last week to talk. Arnie's sending me articles today about fourth string quarterbacks that he wants to talk about.
I don't know what I sent you. What did I send you?
All day long, including in the middle of my nap, that my phone is pinging nonstop. It's Arnie suggesting Patriots topics for the show.
I did send the article about Taysom Hill. That was a big one for me. I'm like, okay, I was right about that one.
That was so exciting. I even commented
back. Yes, you did. I feel good about that.
I'm so tired of Taysom Hill.
Wow.
As we go through, I'll continue to take your golf suggestions. The Giants are getting ripped by Pro Football Focus. The Patriots are getting ripped by ESPN. Major League Baseball might expand. But first, you know what? Rich, because you asked so nicely, we'll go to the Patriots also getting ripped by Pro Football Focus.
Nice.
The Patriots group of pass catchers, not just wide receivers, but this is everybody, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, ranked the 30th best group in the NFL.
That's pretty good.
Well, duh.
By Pro Football Focus, saying that their Patriots group of pass catchers for Jarrett Stidham is only better than the Washington Redskins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, we've all said, at least Arnie and I have said, we think it's going to be hard for this team to win games, but we've held out hope that maybe they can scratch their way 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. If you start telling me their quarterback has no experience, and now their group of pass catchers is 30th out of 32. We don't know what Sony Michel is anymore. And the defense has gotten worse. I don't know how they're going to get to seven wins.
Well, I told you, this is a five-win team, and they're going to be a last-place team. And I always said there's no spark. And
I still think they're better than the Jets, but anyway.
I'm not even sure about that, and they're not better than Jets. And their wide receiver core is bad. That's why when I said Marquise Lee when he opened up, I go, well, they should go after him. They've got nobody else out there. I still think that Julian Edelman's not going to be on this team when it starts. I don't know how they're going to figure that out, but I don't see that working anymore. N'Keal Harry, that's just a joke from last year. This whole team is in a bad situation. I think you guys are starting to finally realize this is, well, I mean, you guys were thinking 8-8.
Well, I still think
it's not going 8-8.
I have said between 6-10 and 10-6, I'm betting more on 6-10, 9-7.
Well, 6-10 and 10-6 is a big gap.
But there's a lot of games in the NFL that are one score games.
I've been persistent on one thing. Last place. That's what I see for the Patriots. That's a last place team.
Boy, ahead, behind the Jets. That's a little tough for me to stomach, but we'll see. I don't have great expectations, obviously, either. But getting back to the wide receivers, this can include tight ends.
It's all pass catchers.
Yeah. So, in other words, and they have no tight ends. They got two kids who are okay, but they moved up, basically. They drafted up to get them both, and nobody can – just nonstop head scratchers on the draft. But it feels like an entire core beyond Edelman of third and fourth wide receivers on other teams.
The Patriots are really hurt here by the idea that Sony Michel is not a pass catcher, because you see other teams that maybe don't have great receiver play. If they have a good running back out of the backfield that can catch balls, they're aided by that. Saquon Barkley, the Giants don't have a true number one, but Saquon Barkley is there. He's elite. Carolina hasn't had a true number one, but Christian McCaffrey's there. He's elite. Sony Michel has 19 catches in 2 years.
Yep.
19 catches in 2 years. So you have a receiver group we have questions about. You have a tight end group that's nothing but rookies and backwash players. And then you got Michelle, who doesn't catch balls. Burkhead's going to get cut, as much as I love him. They need the money, so he's going to be gone. He catches passes. So you're left with James White, and that's it. But James White's not really a threat to run the ball, so it's an obvious that when he's in that he might be catching the ball, so there's really no element of surprise there.
Is this a yearly article? I wish we could go back a year ago and find out where they ranked the wide receivers. Yeah. It's pretty much the same wide receivers, right?
It's all pass catchers. It's not even just wide receivers.
Okay, all pass catchers, though. You still had Sony Michel. You still was waiting for Edelman. You picked up Sanu in the middle, right? Yeah. With 10 weeks.
Late middle.
Whatever it was. I forget who else.
Jacoby Myers is there.
Okay, so I mean, it was pretty much the same people, but I don't think they ranked them 30th they're doing now.
The thing is, they had Gronk, and that solved a lot of problems.
Not last year, they didn't.
No, but I'm talking about in previous years. Year after year, you could just insert 29.
Well, last
30,
year,
31.
I was wondering if they were down so low.
But I mean, once Gronk was gone, that was the end of that, because they replaced Gronk with absolutely nothing.
You could say this about a lot of teams in the NFL. Health is going to be paramount for this team as far as the pass catchers go.
Yep.
I actually think that this team is better than 30th when you know at the wide receiver position, especially if everyone is healthy. And that's a huge if, and no team has 9 deep at the wide receiver position. But if magically the Patriots stayed healthy for all 16 games, if you had Edelman, if you had Harry, if you had Sanu, and if you had Lee, Then with Jacoby Myers, all of, as a five wide receiver deep unit, I actually feel okay about the wide receivers. But I have just so many questions about their health and age. Lee, I mean, what is he?
Right.
Edelman, what is he? He played banged up. Sanu was banged
up. Your top three receivers are all banged up.
If they're healthy, I feel okay, but I know they're not going to be healthy like
that. The thing is, we already know what Sanu's ceiling is. He's a guy who might catch 50, 60 passes. Who knows? I mean, that's what they gave up a second-round pick to get him for in that ridiculous trade. The key to me is Harry, because we have no idea what we've got with him. I mean, he's a first-round pick. He was hurt most of last season. He's a guy with, at least right now, kind of a high ceiling. But he cannot, as a second-year receiver, go out there and catch 30 passes this year.
Think about this. Whoever the Patriots are playing, I'm on defense, and I'm telling my team, everybody on the line, because they can't pass it, they can't throw it to anybody, they can't run the ball. What, boy, Stidham's going to be like a deer in the headlights. That guy's not going to be able to do anything.
But you know what's interesting, though, Arnie, is we sit here and we talk, and I think we're all right in saying that that we're worried about what the Patriots do offensively. You know who was right above the Patriots in the list of awful pass catchers? The New York Jets were 29th, and the Miami Dolphins were 28th.
Right.
So the rest of the AFC East continues to be a problem spot offensively, so the Patriots are going to be in games by virtue of their defense. Buffalo was fifth with their pass catchers between Diggs and Beasley and Singletary, so Buffalo is clearly the best offensive team in the division. But all the rest of the three were all right there together. They're all going to be battling for the same position.
Well, they'll be bad. There's three bad teams there. I still think the Patriots are going to be the bottom feeder, but that's just four games. And if they split those two, that's two wins. I don't see much more than five wins for the Patriots, Brady. And, man, when you have no passing game, and Tom Brady makes the great decisions last year, but this year you got Stidham back there like a deer in the headlights, like I said, I got to be pretty worried, man. I have everybody bunched up on the line. You can't run. You can't pass. You can't do anything. Well, I'm there.
I love when a guy that went 17-33 last year with his pick says the Patriots are going to go 5-11.
That's against the spread. What difference does that make?
Because honestly, I don't see 5-11. I just see Belichick and figuring out a way. I mean, I have been scratching my head about some of the things that he's done personnel-wise over the years for so long, but he just seems to figure out a way. And he's never had an under 500 team in 20 years in New England. He may have a 500 team, but I just can't see a Belichick coach team in Foxborough going completely off the cliff. I'm not saying they're going to go 10-6, but I don't think they're going 5-11 either.
I see the thing I can say over and over again every year is I want to see this team be creative, because it doesn't have, like, I don't look at this team and say, okay, it has a clear-cut identity. Okay, they have a receiver who's going to get you 10 catches a game. Well, they have a running back that we can count on for 30 carries a game. They don't have one thing, I think, that they're elite at. So when you don't have that, when you have this hodgepodge of average parts, you got to find a creative way to deploy them. And we see Josh McDaniels do trick plays, and they work well, and that's great. But I need more consistently creative stuff. I want to see, you know, two tailbacks in the backfield, or line up James White in the slot. 2 years ago, we saw Cordero Patterson line up at running back and do things to get him through a stretch. They're going to need to do this backyard football stuff in order to survive this year, I think. It can't all just be flea flickers like we see once every 3 weeks. They need some formations, the wildcat, lineup, Stidham. I don't care what you do, but you got to do something.
Alex and Moncton, 17-32 last year means you're due, Arnie. I agree 100%. Scott of Plattsburgh says the Pats are going to be 9-7. Okay. And Doug and Milton says Stidham is this year's version of Curtis Painter. Stidham will not be a Patriot in 2021.
Wow.
Curtis Painter is the one who, played for the Colts when Manning was hurt before Luck. So the one-year stopgap.
For some reason, I just want to say Purdue. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think,
I have to look that up.
Lance Painter is the basketball coach at Purdue, isn't he?
Maybe that's why I'm confused then. See, now you're going
to
make
me. Purdue. You're right.
He did go to Purdue.
Yep.
How the hell would I know that?
Well, it's like all this stupid stuff. Stuck I don't know in my why. Head. It's like, why did I know that?
Jeez, that is a guess. What the hell do I know?
Matt Painter is. Yeah,
Matt Painter's the coach.
Yeah, of Purdue.
Yeah, Curtis Painter, another Purdue guy. So maybe I just guessed by accident, right?
That's
or something.
Impressive.
Thank you. 802-655-6672. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, off and running on a busy Thursday, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Tom Brady partnering with ESPN, a 9-part docuseries coming out next year. Are we ready for The Last Dance Part 2, TB12?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
He's been here forever.
Strapping young male that I am.
He's one of you.
So when I was a kid, my parents would always say, all right, it's your birthday. Where would you like to go? We'll take you to any restaurant in Boston. McDonald's.
Wow. It's Rich Haskell.
No, I would never eat anything with beets in it.
On The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 The Game. I like what Ross had to just send in right now. One of my biggest pet peeves is that when no-name professional athletes feel like their opinion matters. If you didn't do anything during their professional career, you shouldn't be opening your mouth.
Who are we talking about?
I don't know, but I always see that, you know, when like some guy, you know, is talking about quarterbacks or, you know, they're grading people and they didn't do much in their professional career. I'm like, pipe down a little bit, huh? Well, you know, you could have scored some more points.
So you don't like Horace Grant talking bad about Jordan?
That was one of them. Also, you know, I think about a couple of people.
So like some of our guests who
some
are.
Some of our guests, there you go, that came on. I don't know. It's
some
like,
of us.
You know, Brady, let me teach you how to lose weight. Even though I'm 50 pounds more than you. Would you look at me and go, yeah, I'm going to pass on that. I don't think I want you as my physical trainer, would you now, huh?
Well, Alex Cora was a good manager, not necessarily a great player.
He was a good player.
Not really.
He wasn't a good player.
Wait,
how many years did he play in baseball?
Look, he made the majors. Yeah. He had a prolonged career. Never really a starter.
Well, I don't think Magic was a great coach for his little but time that he was
Wayne
around.
Wayne Gretzky was a disaster.
Yeah,
as
but
a
that's
coach.
Going yeah. that's going the other way. Yeah. So I'm saying there are good managers. Mike Matheny was a good, you know, for a long time was a good major league manager, was a decent catcher, but I mean
Terry Francona. I mean
Joe Torre was good.
Joe Torre was good. Yeah. Joe Torre and the old manager for the Angels.
So
he was good too.
Alex Cora in 14 years hit .243 with 3,825 plate appearances. He hit 35 home runs and hit two. So he had no power.
That doesn't even get you 2 years in Major League Baseball.
I mean,
anymore.
He was a pretty slick middle infielder. That was about it.
Joe Girardi won a World Series. I wouldn't call him a great player.
I always thought he was a better player. I guess maybe he had a bigger name than I think. I thought he was he's better than better than Cora, right?
I don't think
not
so.
Much.
Really?
No, he was a catcher, wasn't he?
Well, you see, they say catchers make good managers. That's another thing.
I know,
too,
isn't that interesting? And most of the catchers that make good managers didn't hit at all, but then again, catchers don't hit, generally.
Joe Girardi had 36 career home runs in 4,100 major league plate appearances. So he's basically
what did he hit?
.267.
All right, a little better.
With a .315 on base percentage.
No, I mean Cora was a slap hitting middle infielder, and that's all he was.
Take the best coaches ever. Phil Jackson played for the New York Knicks.
Yes, with his afro.
Belichick.
Did he play?
So I'm just saying. So your idea of these people who are. You know, we're like,
opening up their mouth.
Yeah, so some of these people who are opening up their mouth, Brad Stevens.
Okay, so you know what? I am going to open up a physical training place. Come look me up. Here's my number.
Just don't illegally do it like that guy in Rutland's doing.
Oh yeah, that's a problem.
That guy is on a mission, isn't he? He's just like F everybody. I'm going to break all the rules and I don't care.
He brought his gym outside.
Yeah,
I hope it rains.
He did it for one day.
I hope it rains.
Well, he's gotten an awful lot of publicity. Every morning I'm reading on the news about that Sean Manavilla's name. Is I even know his name because I have to read about him every day.
Were people going? Was there like big crowds?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. You know, aren't those people to blame too? I mean, if you told me what he was doing was illegal, I probably wouldn't go there.
We should get my brother on to talk about what's going on in L.A. and some of the fights and yelling going on in the streets there.
Nobody cares.
Oh, believe me, it's funny.
Nobody cares.
They're fighting about going to stores and restaurants and gyms. It's getting pretty hairy out there. I listen to my brother cursing people out when he's driving all the time.
Oh, that's great.
It's pretty funny stuff.
All I want is a haircut. My hair is curling in the back.
So
I've got some flow to it. I don't like that.
When can we get it? You can get a haircut now,
No,
right?
You can't.
You still can't do that.
No.
Nope.
Outdoor seating tomorrow. I would have to imagine haircuts and salons, et cetera, probably next week. But, I mean, again, I'm not the governor.
It's exciting that places like Church Street outside are going to be open for a few. But how'd you like to – Arnie and I talked about this during the 2 o'clock hour instead of preparing for the show as usual.
Well, it's all right. We'll get to Tom Brady's docuseries soon.
What's the difference? You know we're going to get to it at some point anyway.
I'm just saying when we tease something, I like to pay off the tease. So at least if we're not going to, I at least like to tell them we will get to it soon.
I was looking for a new car at 2 o'clock, but go ahead.
But at 2:30 we talked about – this is quick – about the fact that a lot of pressure being on a wait staff in a place like Church Street Marketplace starting tomorrow – I mean, you can have exactly 25%. It's all reservations. What if somebody's, some family is walking down the street and wants to pull in? And
not allowed.
No, sorry, you can't do it. I mean, all you're doing is rejecting everybody.
It's not allowed. You, I mean, look, I have no
sympathy
for that.
This is what we want? I think this is what we want.
I could just see everybody getting mad because it's reservation only. And those people not knowing it.
I have no sympathy for that. You should know. Like, this is, we're all aware of the pandemic. We all know that the rules, things are opening up. You should, if you know the restaurants are open, you should know what the rules around the restaurants are.
You're not like that guy that came off the boat after 6 months and didn't know there was a pandemic going on. He's like, what? What's going on here?
I know. I saw that guy.
All right, Tom Brady.
Yeah, let's get to Tom Brady. Go ahead.
802-655-6672. TB12. We've got
Never heard of him.
Are you done?
Wow.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Did you see that look?
You don't want to talk about your boat fantasies or Elaine watching you on Twitch anymore?
No, but it might be more interesting than Tom Brady.
TB12 is going to be part of a 9-part docuseries coming out in 2021. We partnered with ESPN and partnered with his film company, Gotham Chopra, who produced Tom vs. Time, and you know another no-name guest that we've had on this show.
Wow.
So they're all putting it together, TB12. The trailer is out. You can find it on 1013thegame.com. Are you interested in this Last Dance-style docuseries?
I would be interested if he's going to do it right. It's not going to be, oh, shucks, Tom, and everybody's a great player, and I've got respect for everybody in the NFL, and I have no ill feelings against anybody. I don't want to hear that crap. I want the insight. I want him to say, gosh, I hate Josh McDaniels. That guy makes me sick to my stomach. I want to hear that. I want him to say, F you, Bill.
What if he doesn't feel those things, though?
He does. I saw him yelling at him.
Oh, like 2 years ago when you told me it wasn't a big deal that he did that? All the great ones yell.
I don't know how you remember what I said two years ago, but
all
you know.
All the great ones yell.
But I wanted him interviewed after that part where he's got his emotion and he says, yeah, that guy's a blank. I want him to say bad things against Bill. I want to hear him pick on other people in the NFL, like Michael Jordan said bad things, was laughing at Gary Payton. Yeah. I want him to laugh at other quarterbacks that are Hall of Famers and said, and blaming, you're going to be as good as me.
Right, and blaming Horace Grant.
Yeah.
Things like that. No, I agree. It doesn't have to be tell-all, but you're
Yes, it does.
The problem is it's not going to be because Tom Brady is completely under control of what the content is, which is a problem. I thought Tom versus Time was cool, but it could have gone. I think it was cool just because it was so surprising. You know, it was like Bill Belichick on his fishing boat. You just don't expect to see those people in those situations.
Look, I'm going to watch it. I am interested in it, but I don't have massive expectations of what Arnie's saying. One, the reason why Jordan was able to go and do that stuff is because it was 25 years ago.
Right.
He was able to come out and say that stuff 25 years later and go after some people, and he's not going to have to answer to those people. Tom Brady's still playing. When this comes out, Tom Brady's still going to be playing.
When Michael filmed that or allowed it to be filmed, we didn't know it was going to come out 25 years later. Michael had the choice of he could have released it a day later.
Yes.
Or it could have been 25 years later.
Go ahead. That was the live footage or the background footage, but him talking about Gary Payton, talking about Isaiah, that was just done like a year ago.
Yes, right.
He might not have said those things 24 years ago.
Correct, yes.
So Brady's not going to take shots at people like that, considering he still has to play these people.
Right.
He still has to be teammates with these people. What's he going to say? That Gronk was such a drunken loser. And,
yes,
oh, by the
give
way,
me some of that. I want to know I want to know if it bothered him. Give me a little. Like, yeah, it did bother me when Edelman unfriended me. You know, give me something, Brady. I got to get something here.
There will be mentions of some of that stuff. There will be mentions of some of the controversy in his life. But his film crew is doing it. He's going to have big say in it. It's going to be well put together because ESPN's a part of it and Gotham Chopra is good. But Brady's not going to – he's going to play it far more close to the vest than you want it to. It's going to be interesting, but I'm more interested in the tell-all book.
Well, see, I want him to say, yeah, Bledsoe came to my room after I took his job and I said, hey, yo, pack your bags. I'm the new quarterback here. So you're not getting your job back. That's what I want to hear. By the way, you can't be the greatest quarterback of all time, Brady, unless you have that attitude, unless you speak like that a little bit every once in a while. I refuse to believe 20 years has gone by and this guy hasn't opened up his mouth and regretted a few things he said, and that's the stuff I want
to
hear.
I'd like to see if he was harassed like Michael Jordan was, not just by the media, but by the fans. I mean, you talk about the ultimate rock star lifestyle, and he, after a while, he couldn't stand it. Tom Brady seems to be a lot more guarded about where he ends up. No, I mean, you're giving me that look.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's close.
No, but I don't think it's close either because he made absolutely sure that it wasn't close. I mean, in Tom versus Time, he's basically pulling up to red lights in his car with other people, but I'm sure you can't see in the vehicle and all that stuff. But you wonder how Tom Brady handled the crush of media. I mean, because he's always come across as... I want to see him do his same old press conference on video and then leave the stage and go, oh, those bleeping bleeps.
I'm more interested in the tell-all book. That's where you're going to get that kind of stuff, I think, is where the author who had the unfettered access, he reviews things, he sees things, he's in the room, he's a fly on the wall. As much as I don't enjoy actually reading, sorry, everybody, I don't enjoy just reading 400-page books. That's going to be more interesting from the juicy perspective.
You're not going to force a 9-part miniseries down my throat and give me nothing. What the hell are you going to talk about for 9 years or 9 series? I can't do that.
I think it's going to be interesting, but I don't think it's going to be interesting in the way you want it to be interesting.
Then I'm not. I'll watch it obviously because it's my job. But if I was a regular sports fan. And you're gonna give me that, Brady? I'm not gonna watch it. I won't. I'll just say, this is baloney, and I've got no interest in this.
I'm interested in Brady just being a regular guy and seeing what he does in his everyday life. That was the one thing I loved about Tom versus Time. You got to finally see him in his normal home element.
Do you ever watch Jay Cutler's wife? What's her name?
Very Cavallari.
Yeah. Have you ever watched that?
One episode.
Okay. Don't they fight a lot, too? Isn't that part of the charm is his aloofness and she's ragging on him? I saw one episode where he was picking on her girlfriend that came by to stop by, and she got her car stuck in something, and he's like, what, are you an idiot? You don't know how to drive up the driveway? I mean, that's what I want from Tom. I want somebody to visit Giselle, and he goes, what, are you an idiot? You blocked my car in. Give me something,
that
Brady.
That's so un-Tom Brady-ish.
But that's why they have a TV show. That's why Jay Cutler has a TV show.
That's a TV show. This is a documentary. Oh. I don't think we're going to be – this isn't Tom doing scripted comedy sitting around a coffee house with three other people.
It'd be better.
The Brady-ashians.
Yeah. I think what this is going to be – and the thing that does interest me, because when I first saw this, I was like, oh, wow, maybe we'll get some of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I don't think we're going to get that. If he takes shots at anybody, it's only going to be things from early in his career. You know, the 04 Panthers didn't think I could do it, or T.O. was saying this. He won't touch anything from recent history.
Michael said after the series was done, before the series started, that we were going to think of him more like a blank. You don't think Tom's going to say that? Yeah?
I think what we're going to see a lot of is, and Brady's very positive. He's very motivational. I think we're going to see, I don't know how you do it for 9 episodes, but I think that we're going to see a significant amount of what he considers to be his obstacles. And it's getting inside his head and how he overcame those obstacles, whether it was, and look, I don't know the full Tom Brady story.
Right.
We might hear that the youth coach when he was 9 said, you suck and you'll never do it. You should quit the sport. We might hear that the teacher told him, you'll never be a professional athlete. You need to get a business degree or you can't turn down this intern. We're going to hear that stuff, I think, not him.
I want the name. Remember, like Michael Jordan said, the name of the guy that beat him out of, I forget the regular schmo that beat him out on the varsity team, still held that against him. We all know Michael Jordan didn't make the varsity in, 10th grade, 11th grade?
Right, and an interview with that person. Yes. That was the great thing about with the Last Dance. They had everybody on video. If Jordan mentioned somebody, boom, they went right to that person.
Adam said the show got canceled because they're getting divorced, talking about Jay Cutler. Yeah, I knew that, but that was a very popular show from what I understood.
Rod Daddy says, I only hope ESPN promotes the Brady Show. They were very quiet about The Last Dance.
Well, there's nothing else to do, so.
I know. It's not like you can give scores and capitalize baseball games.
I want to see how Brady – I want to get inside his head because I don't think I'm going to get the stuff that you want. So if I'm not going to get that, I want inside his head what motivated him to become great. What slights does he have? Who told him what? How did he handle fame, like Rich said? I'm more interested in kind of the textbook of how a star is built. We saw it to a degree with Michael. That's what I'm expecting with Brady.
But then I'll be very disappointed. I'm hoping that he walks off the field after a pick and says to Belichick, that was the dumbest effing call you ever made in your life, Bill. Thank you.
Bill doesn't call the plays, but hey, that's cool.
I just something. Give me a little... animosity with those two guys.
How bad do you want a camera and a microphone in Brady's face after the pick six to Logan Ryan to end the season?
I just want some interaction between those two where Belichick gives him the stink eye and Brady just turns and goes, get blank you, Bill. Just blank you. Something. I'm not going to get that. I don't want
to
watch.
You might want to go to NFL Films.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Not Brady's production company.
802-655-6672. Though, but if you told me that was going to be on, triple the ratings. For everybody, if that was like a clip you played and we were going to play that, everybody would be watching to hear that.
I think, sure. I'll play you the trailer, the audio version of the trailer in They Said What. You can hear what it is. It's not going to be anything like you want it to be.
That's next. You're in the huddle. What do I point to the game?
Whoa. What did he say? He really said that?
It's They Said What?
What?
On the huddle.
What? Yeah. What?
On 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What a point. The game moving along on this beautiful Thursday. Brady, let's get to They Said What.
Here, you want to see? Now, mind you, this is a video, so here's the Tom Brady trailer for his docuseries. Here's what it is, Arnie.
Okay,
I think it's going to be a PSA for the Brady positive way of thinking and living, but it's very dramatic since it is a video.
Realizing my potential has been what my career has been all about. Things that I've dreamed about have actually come true.
And the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
Things have happened in my life as I kind of hoped they would happen. It's been, just a complete evolution. You know, how I just kept kind of fighting and clawing to continue to power forward. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you keep trying to make progress. So when I look at over 20 years, I look how far I've come. But there's not one step that I took where I realized, look how far I've come. But those series of steps that I put together, I go, wow, that's quite a journey.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I'm out.
He appreciates it.
You know, I got to tell you, if I was at a dinner party and Tom Brady came up to me and started talking to me like that, after 10 seconds, I go, yeah, I got to go. Rich kind of needs me over there. nice to meet you, Tim. Tom, nice to meet you. And I'll speak to you. If you talk to me like that, I am odd. I'm not even going to speak to him the rest of the dinner party if he was like that.
Yeah, I hope it isn't a live your best life with Tony Robbins kind of thing.
I think it's going to be.
No.
Here's me overcoming obstacles and whatever those obstacles are. And maybe he will get real deep on his marriage problems. You know, how he almost divorced Giselle, as he told Howard Stern. Maybe he'll get into having a kid out of wedlock with Bridget Moynihan. I don't know, but there have been a series of obstacles that he's overcome. I'm interested in how the best became the best. I don't know. And again, the Last Dance were all 1 hour long. I don't know if these Brady things are going to be an hour. They're going to be 30
minutes.
Right,
right, right.
I don't know that I could do 10 hours of Brady talking about his motivation.
Yeah.
But I could do 5 hours of it. I think I'm interested in how the best become the best.
I was going to say, I need 10 minutes of him going, okay, you got me. I deflated the footballs. But I'm not going to get – you can't even give me 10 minutes. You can't even give
not
me.
Not while he's playing still.
Yeah, but okay. Look, I thought I could get away with it. Damn, you guys are good. You busted me. You got me.
Well,
I'm not getting anything.
It's tricky now for any sports documentary coming out, including E60s, 30 for 30s, because The Last Dance has set the bar so high. I think the court of a public opinion was so high for The Last Dance that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be put up against that. And he's going to say, we're already ripping it to shreds, and it hasn't even come out.
Does Tom Brady even have a flu game? Does he even have a flu game like Michael had? Did he ever?
Yes. Remember?
No, I don't remember anything about him being sick.
Remember before the Super Bowl, and I can't remember if it was the Eagles or the Rams, but remember his teammate, it was Burkhead, ran into his finger. We weren't sure he was going to be able to play.
Okay, right. Okay.
And he had the thumb that was all taped up, and he was wearing a glove at practice we couldn't see. So, yes, he has that.
Oh, yeah,
remember all the pictures from a Zoom lens camera from a half a mile
away? I almost didn't make the show today because my finger hurts, too.
You can't even make the show because you tweaked your back one time six months ago.
Got to lay in bed. No, I don't want that. After what you just played me, I'm all out. I'm not going to listen to him give me a bunch of garbage. Maybe I'll watch one episode, but nine episodes, you're not going to give me what Michael Jordan gave me, then I've got no interest in that.
I don't think he's had, you know, he talks about getting past obstacles. What obstacles? Is he grew up in a very well-off family.
Yes, he did.
Maybe it's the part about being the backup for a little while to Drew Henson at Michigan. I don't know what else it could be.
Just because you didn't grow up in a single-family household in the inner city, that doesn't mean you didn't have obstacles. So I'm still interested to hear about what Brady's had to overcome.
Right, but wouldn't you agree that that angle is a little bit different?
Well, Michael grew up with
Brady. Yes, of course.
Michael had a good family. They were well educated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what, like, he overcame poverty or anything like that. 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending, then we'll get to the top 4 and 4. That's next. You're in the huddle. 1.3 the game.
He's been here forever.
This strapping young male that I am.
He's one of you.
When I was a kid, my parents would always say, all right, it's your birthday. Where would you like to go? We'll take you to any restaurant in Boston. McDonald's.
Wow. It's Rich Haskell.
No, I would never eat anything with beets in it.
On The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on this beautiful Thursday. One note, we made a little mistake. I didn't tell Brady and Rich. I made a little change. Instead of the Minnesota-New Orleans game, I switched it over to the Dolphins-Patriots game from last year at the end of the season.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Remember that game, Brady? I changed it over to that one. We'll be hearing that one tonight.
I don't recall that game.
I watched it. That game, look, it didn't bother me. It gave us more things to talk about, and we didn't have to have a week off in between the divisional round and the wild card round.
Could you imagine replaying that, what people would text in if we were playing replaying that one?
Well, in a way, it would be better because then it would not guarantee that the home team is going to win the game.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been carrying Red Sox games for, what, a month? And they haven't lost a single one.
Yeah, we should bring up some of the old Patriot losses up there. I think that'd be fun.
Is that, you mentioned before the show, is that Brett Favre's last game?
I believe so, yeah. Where he get all messed up by the Vikings, or by the Saints.
And then tomorrow, 2013 World Series Game 4, Sox and St. Louis. Now, 2013, I think, went 6 games. So this was not the clincher. They swept St. Louis in their first World Series.
Back in
03, whatever it was.
No, 04, because I was like, you screwed me up. Aaron
Shame
Boone was 03.
For not knowing that. That was the most historic.
My goodness.
But they've just won so many World Series, I lose track of all the years.
I was going to say, just real quick, a little bit of bad news. Nothing that we didn't expect, but it's something that we do every year. No Champlain Valley Fair.
They got rid of. They canceled that?
They did cancel that.
They also did.
I knew they were going to cancel it a while ago.
Well, but. Oh, I didn't see that happen yet already.
I think
that
was yesterday. They also canceled the Clinton County Fair, too.
Yes,
so
that I saw.
That's a big one, too.
So we're...
The Champlain Valley Fair was not canceled yesterday because it would have been all over the news. And I watched the news last night.
Rich?
What?
Is it canceled?
You told me before the show
You agreed with me, too, though. You said, yes, it was canceled.
Okay, well...
I think it is canceled.
Is this going to be another fake death?
No, it's not. I'm pretty sure it was canceled.
I'm
pretty sure
the people
now.
At Champlain Valley Fair are now screaming
at
us.
Can you imagine the screaming at Rich for
for Rich? Rich.
I thought it was canceled. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I am the news guy. I suppose I should
You
get
are
that
the
right.
news guy. You should understand. Let us know on the Town Fair Tire text.
I have not seen anything on that.
I think it did.
The Addison,
I think it did.
Addison County Fair and Field Day
is done. Yes.
Canceled.
Right.
But that was like 2 weeks ago they did that.
Right.
Nothing yet.
Did I get
Champlain
that wrong?
Valley Fair.
Wow.
It's like Francisco Franco is still dead.
802-655-6672. Did I get that wrong?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, you did.
Did I? I thought for sure they had canceled
I'm going to check this out.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And you agreed with me, Rich. It's like you
Well, thought... I just anything to shut you up.
Yeah, I guess.
He just nods his head
yeah,
at
he just
you.
Said, oh, yeah, you're right.
In
you're
fact,
right.
Sometimes I say yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Yes, honey. No, I thought it was canceled. Well, if it's not, but I'm not holding up for high hopes out there.
The website still shows a countdown.
98 days.
Says. So there you go. So you're wrong.
Crawdaddy, his wife hates me.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, but I don't know who she is.
Craw mommy?
Oh, yeah. Travis says, yep, I heard Rich say it was canceled. You see,
don't
Rich?
Don't put this on me.
Yeah, I heard from you.
Well, maybe you'd think I could remember my own news stories.
The Clinton County Fair was canceled. That was canceled.
I know.
Yes. I think that
Rich,
is true.
Rich was the source of the story. I think that's where I heard it from, was from Rich
and
out there.
And it's Darius Rucker still at the Champlain Valley Fair August 28th.
Yeah, that I love it. Darius loves me.
I'm sure.
Oh, I played
Everyone
golf with him.
You. Who you know, doesn't love you?
He's friends with Mike Golick, your old co-host for one day.
I did not know that. I didn't. I was out. I was on the golf in the golf cart with Darius.
Yeah, and were you singing Wagon Wheel with him?
No. We were just playing golf. Me,
singing,
him.
I only want to be with you.
Yeah, he's actually a really cool guy. He's a lot of. Do you want to know what's so funny? Is he listens to sports radio like crazy?
That's not what, only I told you, he's really good friends with Golick. He goes on with them all the time.
Yeah, Dan Patrick, and but he listens to everybody.
He's got his golf tournament every year.
And, yeah,
he's a South Carolina guy.
Yep,
it was good to meet him.
Now was he Hootie, and the other guys were Blowfish?
I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I always wondered about that as they play their songs eight times a day for a couple of years.
The great line from Jerry Maguire when the kid comes up to Rod Tidwell, Cuba Gooding Jr., and goes, "Are you Hootie?" And he goes, "No, I am not Hootie."
It was free McDonald's that whole weekend, too. Anything you wanted.
Free McDonald's? Can you imagine the line they had free McDonald's?
They had it for the on the course. They had those you know, like those little kiosk things, and you just walk up and they...
Was it the McDonald's Open?
It was, well, you know, that was sponsored by them. I don't know who's, you know, what big tournament it was, but I had to actually fly down there from Chicago to be part of it. But it was some pretty big
Imagine
event.
Arnie being a part of a golf
tournament. Yeah, I really didn't want to do it.
With a bunch of real golfers.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't, Arnie, you sweat a lot. I can't see you out there on the golf course in like 90-degree weather.
And they, you know, it must have been a real big tournament because Chrysler gave everybody a car to drive around for the weekend.
Wow, and of course they give away cars for holes in one.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun out there. No doubt. And you played golf
today.
You played golf today, Brady.
I did play golf today, and I felt a lot of pressure at one point. I was playing by my
felt pressure by yourself.
I was playing by myself at 8 a.m, but it got to be real tenuous at one point. I was on hole number 4, very skinny fairway, and there was a high school kid wearing an MMU wrestling shirt or something, just mowing the lawn at 8 a.m.
Uh-oh.
And he's walking near me. He's doing the rough kind of on the adjacent hole. So he stops, and he takes off his headphones, and he looks at me because he wants to make sure I don't kill him.
Oh, I'd be aiming right at his head.
There were only two. There were only two eyes on me. It might as well have been 2,000 on 18 at Augusta. I haven't felt that much pressure in a very long time. Yeah. But you know what? It's my best shot of the day. Not only did I actually hit that one straight, right in the center of the fairway, beautiful shot, about 200 out because I used a hybrid off the tee there, and 200 out center of the fairway. The kid puts his headphones back on and probably says to himself, "Great, I didn't get hit in the head this time. I could turn around and go back the other way now." But those two eyes, they were piercing me at the tee box.
What would you have done if you had to play in that golf tournament I was in with Hootie and the guys? There was like 100,000 people there watching and stuff.
Well, guess what? Their eyes would have been on Hootie, not me, so it's okay.
Who was that horrible golfer?
Yeah, I mean, it's very nerve-wracking. Yeah, right,
some of those tournaments, if there's five people watching me, it's like,
that's why I don't play golf, I don't do that.
Did you see Chris and Jericho's text?
No, what did he say? Oh, one of the greatest high school teams ever in Vermont history, baseball, basketball, football, softball, sick of hearing about Tom Brady.
Okay, the greatest baseball team in Vermont history, I think that goes to U32, 1971.
Yeah, football hasn't been around since 75.
That you've heard of U32.
Football, we'll go with Middlebury. The 48 team, I hear, was outstanding, had a really good veer going that year. Softball, more of a recent team. I think that one might have been like CVU 87. Here they had a dominant pitcher that year.
Wow.
And basketball, we'll go with
the women's high school team.
The 82 St. J team.
We'll go with North Country 1936.
Wow, you're not very nice.
Wow, you're mean.
Chris might be home crying right now. He was serious. And I agree with him because it means we're not talking about Tom Brady.
You really want to talk about the best softball team in Vermont State High School?
I wouldn't know the best and the worst. I could literally name a team that went 0-20 as the best ever. I have no idea.
Haven't been to one softball game here at all.
Football and basketball are the only sports I could tell you who's good and who's not.
Jeez. All right, well, we're going to work on that.
Wow,
Chris,
that was mean. That's a dark side of you I've never seen.
Mean.
What does it mean? All I did was I was just chuckling as I said. I actually thought it was kind of funny.
This is how Arnie and I do it to the listeners. We're subtly nasty.
I thought it was kind of funny. I'm smiling. Twitch. If you see me on Twitch, I'm laughing.
Chris could be driving from Jericho to our front porch right now as we speak.
Well, he can't get in because the building is barricaded down because of the corona.
Chris, if you show up, put your mask on, please.
We can't have guests in at all. No guests allowed. That's the new policy. It's like when you have a treehouse when you're a kid, no girls allowed.
It won't be long.
Oh, stop. You have no
say.
I've been
right from day one about this whole coronavirus thing.
What?
I've been right about this from day one.
No, you haven't.
I'm the one that quarantined myself in March right off the bat.
Quarantined myself.
Because you wanted to sit at home.
No, I don't know. I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah, for 2 months.
I had a little sniffle back in March.
Arnie tells me, the other day he tells me, I really wonder if I had it. There was one day where I was coughing. I'm like, you cough every day.
I know that, but it was really, you even mentioned it to me, Rich, that I was coughing more than usual.
Well, we both were.
Then I went home and got something to eat and watch Judge Judy. So.
Wow, Lane, check out the Bellows Falls graduating class of 72, Grumpy Haskell. Wow. Am I grumpy? I'm having the time of my life.
Is that you, Grumpy?
I don't know. Maybe there is a Grumpy Haskell, though. Maybe
maybe he's not talking about me.
Maybe there's a nickname, the old tailback, Grumpy Haskell.
That'd be great if there was really one.
They used to run the single T up at Bellows Falls.
The Grumpy Terrier.
All right, let's get out of Brady. Let's get to the top four.
The high school team is running the veer, the wing T, the triple option.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything. Every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3, The Game.
Let's play a little game here.
Yes.
Good.
I'm pretty sure. So quarantine started on like March 15th. I've been reading the exact same thing about grazers and agave every day since March 15th. Do you think that... I'm pulling the page out of Arnie's book.
Yes.
Subtle people. Do you think that anyone in the sales staff will give us something new to read about grazers and agave?
You're picking on the sales staff? I love the sales staff. What's wrong with you?
I'm the only one left that gets along with them now.
I'm just saying, let's play over or under another 2 months until we get something new to read. How about that?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
That's not very subtle.
The top four and four. Grazer's Restaurant, Maple Tree Place, Williston, Main Street in St. Albans. Online ordering is available at grazersvt.com. Here's a little ad lib. You can eat outside at Grazer's. So starting tomorrow, outdoor dining at Grazer's. Yep. Socially distanced, 10 feet apart. But you can eat. You can drink out on the patio. I love being outdoors at Grazer's. So, and agave, taco tequila casa also. Maple Tree Place in Williston. Sunday brunch, you're thinking about a long weekend. You're thinking about Memorial Day. You're going to have a couple drinks this weekend. Get that brunch. Soak up the hangover. 10 till 2 at agavevt.com.
And you can even take it out of those places and sit in the square there, too, right there, which is across the street
from
each restaurant.
There's new information.
Yeah, so you could do that. And they used to have concerts there. I don't think they're going to be doing the concerts.
Maple Tree Place
concerts. Yeah, but it's plenty of room. You could be social distancing.
Yeah, we've lost Chris and Jericho. So much for being a local Vermont sports talk show. We just talked about Grumpy Haskell.
Yes, we did.
Does Chris not recognize that we had, Bob Emery's not, but he's local, but he's not
local
Vermont.
As it gets.
We had Bob Emery on yesterday. We do Hometown Hump Day every Wednesday where we talk with somebody local.
Erica or Ann Scott said Brady's cranky today. I don't know if that's from Erica and Scott or Scott.
So far the text line has said that I'm cranky and you're cranky.
No, they said that you're annoying.
You're
annoying. Yes.
Okay, well, that's nothing new.
I'm not really cranky. I just wanted to throw a jab at the sales staff for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah, that is the first. That's shocking to hear that. This is a revelation.
Leave the jabs to me for the sales team.
We're all turning into little Arnies.
Shane in Burlington, the 1974 BFA boys hockey team scored 20 goals in 3 playoff games to win the state title.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
You are on top of it.
Averaging 6.5 goals a game, 6.33 goals per game.
That's about all you got.
In the 74 playoffs. Did Grumpy Haskell play for them, too?
There was probably a LeClaire and a Duke Alon and a couple of guys named Horrigan on the team.
Did Grumpy Haskell, was he the third line center on that team?
No, that's not BFA. That's BF. Bellows Falls.
Well, maybe he went over the border and... Here we go. We'll cross town lines. All right. Top four and four. Grazer's Agave. Go support them. We love them. Hey, Chris, here's a local sports story. The UVM men's hockey assistant job is down to 5 to 6 names, and I've done a little sourcing on this one. So source tells me that of the 5 to 6 names, my source knew 3 of those names. Steven Wielder, who's been an assistant coach at American International College since 2015. Paul Kirtland, who is an assistant coach at Sacred Heart. And Phil Roy, who used to be a Division I assistant at Merrimack and Clarkson, now coaches junior hockey in Saskatchewan.
I spoke to Phil.
Really?
At least a half a dozen times, what? And I've emailed him over a dozen times.
About trying to get your kid to play there?
A long time ago when he was with Clarkson.
The dad from hell.
I got to tell you, this guy is really cool. Not because he would answer my calls and my emails, one of the few that did. This guy is good. And Brady, I don't want to talk out of turn here. I think the only reason he left Clarkson, and they loved him there, and he helped turn around a program, was because he's a Canadian citizen.
I saw immigration issues. Yeah.
It was immigration issues. Otherwise, he never would have left, and he would have been a coach. Matter of fact, he might have been offered a chance to have been the head coach. Maybe St. Lawrence. I'm not sure. I did talk to him. It's funny. A couple of years ago, while Shea was playing in Canada, he sent me an email. Clarkson was short a goalie at the last minute.
Uh-oh.
And never would have gotten into a game. GPA is the only reason why. But I've spoke to this guy a bunch of times. He is really, really a
How
good guy.
How old is he? He graduated college in 2000, I so say he's about 38 at that
I was going to say 40.
About 40 to 45.
I was going to say 40, but I'm not sure. Very cool and, you know, knows what he's talking about. I spoke to other coaches who knew him. The guy has a great reputation. He certainly gets along with the kids. I don't know about the other guys. So he's the only one I've ever had talk to and emailed with. But I certainly like him. And when I looked at the notes, it's like, I know this guy. And he did a great job over at Clarkson. So he'd be my vote, but I don't know the other guys.
This hire cannot be overstated. This is a hugely important. I mean, I said for weeks before the head coaching hire a couple of months earlier, that was the single most important hire Jeff Shulman will ever make in his entire tenure here, no matter how long it lasts at UVM. This is right up there. This is your recruiting guy. This is the guy that he's the pit bull who goes into the living rooms, and this is going to be a crucial hire. Steven, is it Weidler or Weidler? I'm not familiar, but he's
Weidler.
Weidler. Yeah. AIC, their head coach was one of the final candidates as we saw it, and they have had an unbelievable turnaround down in Springfield. Despite the fact that it's the armpit of the nation, it's still got a great hockey team at AIC. That is an unbelievable story at AIC with the hockey. So he's impressive just based on what AIC has been able to do. I'll tell you what, Sacred Heart's the same thing. That team went 21-10 this year. They beat AIC a couple of times. And everyone says, Sacred Heart, do they have a hockey team? Yeah, they're very good.
Paul Pabst, our buddy from the DP show, he's a Sacred Heart season ticket holder, I think.
Well, he also teaches there, too.
That's right. He teaches there,
because,
so he goes
there. Why? Because isn't Bobby Valentine the
AD there?
The athletic director.
Yeah, right.
Yes, Bobby Valentine is the athletic director.
Wow. Friend of the show, Bobby Valentine.
So, I guess that's why he teaches there and stuff like that.
See, I actually like Paul Kirtland as my choice. And I'm with you. I think this is a hugely important one. Paul Kirtland is a guy who's younger. He graduated in 2013, so he's like somewhere between 29 and 32, depending on when he actually got to college himself. He's a younger guy. He will resonate more with the players. And as someone who's played and coached collegiately, resonating with the players is about the most important thing that the assistant coach can do, and just being someone who's relatable for them. He played Division I hockey at Ohio State. He's coached a team at the Division III level in Trinity as an assistant, who went to the national championship game in 2017, losing to Norwich. So he's done recruiting. He's done on-ice stuff. He's been at D3-1. He's been at D1-1. He played D1. He's going to be relatable to these players. Paul Kirtland of Ohio State, out of these three names, would be the guy I go with. But again, my source did not tell me the other two to three names. I just have the three of the five or six.
Well, the three we went over, I think either one would be great. Like I said, I know Phil, but I've talked to him. And really what you want is a good recruiter. So, you get somebody that's done college hockey before, get these kids in. And all three of them have the pedigree. So I think they're going to be in good shape there.
Huge hire. Yeah.
Top forward four, 101.3 the game. Actually happened yesterday, but we didn't get to it. The Patriots extended safety Patrick Chung for 2 more years. It's not a re-signing, it's an extension. So he's going to be in New England right now through 2023. What this really does is free up cap space. It frees up nearly $1 million in cap space. The Patriots used that yesterday to sign Kyle Duggar, their top draft pick, the safety out of Lenoir Ryan University, the D2 guy they took in the second round. Chung, he's on the team through 2023, but Arnie, I think there's no way he sees the life of this contract. He's already in his mid-30s.
Not that this is a big deal. Does that mean he will get less money because he won't be on the team in 2023, so he's leaving money on the table? Does it get front-loaded now? And
he got a restructuring, and he's making more money this year than he would have.
Okay, So when they restructure it, maybe he'll get more this year, but overall less because he won't be on that last year. I don't know. But obviously, they got to make it favorable for the athlete. That's why the athletes do something like this, or they're going to go ahead and cut him. No big deal. They just had to make some money because they weren't going to be able to sign all their draft picks unless they made some type of move.
Right, and they already have signed all, what is it, 10? 8?
All whatever, 10.
All 10 draft picks have already been signed. That's not a small deal. Granted, more than half of them probably won't make the team, but that's not the case with a lot of teams.
2 weeks ago, they didn't have $15 to buy lunch, and now all of a sudden they get all their draft picks.
This is a situation that's it's not as big a deal as you think. And Brady, you explained it to me yesterday. I said, wow, because I actually texted. I texted you, and I said, wow, that's a big deal. I thought he was ready to retire, and you said, trust me, he's not going more than 2 years.
Yeah, he's not going to see the end of this deal. He was reportedly thinking about retiring this offseason, so they give him a raise this year in order to help the cap situation this year as well. So Chung's been he's been on the Patriots for 10 years. He had 1 year in Philly, but 10 years in New England. And, you know, there's nothing that I think of about Chung is that he does, like, incredibly well. I don't think of him as this big hitter.
Right.
I don't think of him as a ball-hawking, intercepting machine. He just does everything naturally well. He's been a big part of the team. I'm glad he's going to be here. He can help teach a guy like Kyle Duggar and kind of give him some pointers in Belichick's defense. But I wouldn't be shocked if he retired next offseason. But, Arnie, the Patriots are just kicking the can down the road with this cap stuff. Think about it. Under Chung's old deal, if he had retired this year, if he had retired next year, rather, it'd be $1.3 million in dead cap. Now, because of this restructuring, if he retires next year, $3.5 million in dead cap. So they're just kicking the can on down the road. We're going to be doing the same capology next year.
I'd never understood the whole dead cap thing, and especially when you restructure it. And that's why we argued about Aaron Rodgers. They can't trade him the dead cap, and they can't trade him this. It will cost them against that. And wait a minute, they could do it after next year, we found out. I don't know, but sometimes you just have to pull the trigger and say, I don't care how much dead cap is against
the trigonometry
us, you know?
Makes more sense to me than the dead cap situation.
It's
and
so
maybe
hard.
You could explain it, but so is this bad news for the Patriots down the line?
Yeah,
bad news for the Patriots down the line. Good news now, they freed up money to go sign Kyle Duggar. Bad news in the future that if Patrick Chung retires next offseason, it's going to be a $3.5 million worth of dead cap.
Doesn't somebody have to take the blame for this when you have to restructure a contract because you didn't have enough money to re-sign or to sign your own draft picks?
I mean, it happens all the time.
Does it really?
Where people restructure things. It happens all the time.
Restructuring happens all the time, but how many teams come into the draft not having enough money to sign their draft picks? I don't think that goes on all the time. Sounds like they miscalculated money there.
The other thing that's going to happen is the Patriots will free up more money as the offseason goes. June 1st is when you can cut people at lesser penalties. So I expect Burkhead to get cut, and there will probably be some others that will get cut as well. They'll free up more money.
And why June 1st? Why can't
it be? I
don't understand the whole money thing. I really don't.
But the thing weighing the Patriots down this year, too, is Tom Brady's a $13.5 million dead cap hit right now. Antonio Brown is a $4 million dead cap hit right now. Michael Bennett's a $2 million cap hit right now.
Unreal.
None of those guys will exist next year. So instantly right off the bat next year, we're looking at $18 million, $19 million more freed up.
I never understood how somebody could be a cap hit against you when they're on another team. Whether it's trade or you cut them and they went to another team, how that could just be a dead cap against you.
It's hieroglyphics.
It's ridiculous.
So look at Tom Brady. I'm going to try to explain this as best as possible. So Tom Brady, he got a signing bonus, okay, and a hefty one.
Right.
And when you have a signing bonus and the player is on your team, you can spread that signing bonus out year to year to year.
Like Rodgers did.
When that player is no longer on your team, all of that remaining signing bonus money comes on that year alone. So Brady's money that was being spread out is now all on this year.
But I always said to myself, it should take less money for the dead cap minus whatever Tampa's giving him. That, to me, should have been the real math there. But then again, there'd be no consequence for Tampa. So, I don't know. The way they came out with this whole structure thing, and NBA wasn't any better. NBA, what was it, 3, 4, 5 years ago? They had to throw money at athletes that weren't even worth it and give them 80, 90, 100 million. There was some screwed up money situations.
That's because I think you have to spend a certain amount of money in the NBA. There's a salary floor. And so when the cap exploded, teams were way under, so they had to just go
garbage
overspend.
Players, though.
Top 4-4. Speaking of the NBA is looking really hard at the Disney plan, the Walt Disney World plan outlined by Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports. The NBA would have the quarantined city of Disney. Again, they wouldn't make it so you couldn't leave, but everyone would be allowed to go in and, you know, within Disney. They have the hotel rooms. They have the floors. It's broadcast ready. They could bring all the teams there. They'd have a 70-game regular season. Some teams, I think, are at 63 games. Yeah. Some teams are at 65. So get a couple games in the regular season. Then we go to the playoffs. I love this idea, except for the fact that I don't need to see the Golden State Warriors come back for five meaningless games.
I don't like the fact that they're going to finish up the regular season, but it does come in the thought, if they all played in Florida, Brady, would they still separate it where they play the Eastern Conference teams first and then the Western Conference? Or since they're all in the same time zone, you could play the Lakers is the 4 o'clock game, right? Or is the early game?
I have no idea. I mean, fine. They're all good questions, but I have no idea. That's for ESPN to figure out.
That's what I would do. I'd say, okay, forget about those 10 o'clock Eastern games with the Lakers. We're moving the Lakers to 7 o'clock Eastern, you know, and they're prime time, and everybody finally gets to watch them. We don't have to worry about the West Coast. Well, then you still worry about the West Coast. It'd be like 4 o'clock out there, so maybe that's the problem.
So this would not be a complete season. I mean, it just seems like they have this indiscriminate number that they picked. Oh, how about 70? I mean, why? I agree. Why play those final games? Why risk losing somebody to an injury just as the playoffs are about to start?
I think it's so that everybody gets their own spring, gets a spring training, so those playoff teams aren't coming in cold.
All right, because I look at the standings, and there's not a lot of drama other than, you know, who's going to end up 8, 7, or 6. Because right now, I mean, in the East, the Washington Wizards are 5.5 behind Orlando. So you already know who the 8 teams would be in the East. And out in the West, Memphis would be the 8. Portland is the 9, 3.5 behind them. So there's not a lot of races going on right now to get into the playoffs.
Glenn and Moncton said, here's a question. If Canada's borders are still closed, what about the Raptors?
Oh, yeah.
If you're an essential worker, you can cross the border. I saw it yesterday in an emergency situation where somebody was passing away. They wanted to say goodbye to their family. They allowed the person to cross the border. If you're a sports player, I think they'll allow the same thing there also.
Top 4-4.
That was number one.
No, this is number one.
That was number 5.
That was number 2. The Last Dance came out this spring. It was great. Now we're getting our own Tom Brady docu-series in 2021, the former Patriots quarterback. 9-part series. Arnie hates it already. You can see the trailer online at 1013thegame.com. TB12, in his own words, about the obstacles he's overcome and probably not talking smack about Belichick.
After what I heard, you'd be more interested in a 9-part trailer on my life than you would on Tom Brady. I promise you that after the stuff I heard.
The Micronesia years.
Yes, exactly. 802-655-6672. If you want to jump in, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
So earlier in the show, we talked about how the Patriots were ranked the 30th best group of pass catchers in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Giants, not much better.
Yeah, a little bit better. We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Arnie.
I had a great promotional idea. I wanted us to put our face on a box of cereal.
Brady.
So you want me to start giving away cereal?
No, go someplace where we can get cereal made with our face on the boxes, like the Wheaties box or something.
Out of your own wallet.
Right, out of your own wallet, of course.
Rich.
Well, this is right at the top of this list of stupid ideas. This is right up there.
It's the huddle.
Wow, I thought that was a great idea.
You know what? You do it, and we'll use it.
Yeah, I'm a little busy this week.
On 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game on a beautiful Thursday.
Oh.
By the way, I got somebody who texted me and who knows, says, why would they only play 70? Why would they get 70 games in the NBA, because that's how many games are on the deal with regional sports networks. It's the minimum broadcast requirement for the money.
Money talks, baby.
Wow.
Something walks.
Money's talking in a lot of ways. You see, the Ohio State AD wants to get 50,000 football fans in. Reason why is solely because of the economy.
Let me tell you something. 50,000, good luck on just keeping it at 50,000, okay? Good luck on just that when you're talking Ohio State football.
I'm just saying they want that is because of the money.
Of course. Of course.
Because the NFL is going to play with no fans. Fauci says play with no fans. Everybody says play with no fans. Baseball won't play with fans. College football is going to force everybody in because they need the money.
I don't know how this whole start early, end of the semester, right around Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving or before. I don't even know anymore.
They want to end. Most schools are trying to end now with Thanksgiving break.
I don't know how that's going to work over. I don't think it's going to be completely smooth like they're making it out to be. They made these decisions kind of sharp, you know, quickly. I'm like, didn't you consult all the other schools out there and you know, get on the same page? I guess not.
They're trying to beat the second wave.
I know that, yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They And you were the one who said all along that, oh, maybe the disease is not as bad in the warm weather, so they're trying to maximize warm weather time
right.
and get out before general flu season starts.
Well, trying to beat them to the punch. We'll see how it affects all the sports out there. It's going
to
be crazy.
Somebody wants to put our faces on a bottle of maple syrup that's better for Vermont than a cereal box.
That is true.
I still want our own beer. I still want to know when we're going to have the Brady, Rich, and Arnie lager.
Huddle Light.
Yeah, Huddle Lager.
I like the maple syrup idea.
The Huddle IPA.
Yeah, see, but you wouldn't drink it because you don't like IPA. Yeah. So we.
No, I wouldn't, but I'd sure promote it.
We need the Huddle Pilsner.
I'd stand there in front of the camera and, or in front of the microphone and go, this is yummy.
We go Huddle.
As I cringe.
The Huddle Pilsner. The Huddle Hoppy IPA.
Hoppy Huddle.
We need a billboard downtown like they have in Vegas.
Yeah.
Electric billboard, and then it puts the Huddle.
That's a great idea.
I think it's an awesome idea.
Let's put up a huge billboard right
next to the bridge I'm going to build between between Burlington and Plattsburgh. Right
you didn't tell me that this unnamed texter says that he personally could get our faces on the bottle of maple syrup. So if he owns a maple syrup company or owns a distributor of maple syrup, sir, you can email me, brady@1013thegame.com. We'll get the special edition.
I would like to do that.
A bunch of saps.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Look at you.
Every now and then.
Could come up with
like Duns on Marblehead.
And if there are any beer people out there, we got the guys from First Republic Brewery, I know, who listen up in Essex. So if we get any beer people listening, the Huddle IPA.
Bring us some.
Yeah, that too.
Wouldn't it be cool if we had like a parade and we were like the float, the Brady, Rich, and Arnie float, like the Macy's Day Parade or something.
And you
like
would
that.
Be doing that ridiculous, like
the Miss America hand. Yeah. Mommy, who's that ugly man? Which one?
Is that a mask?
Wow.
No. He looks like George the Animal Steel, Mommy.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
What if we had Huddle masks, face masks
there you
to
go.
Sell?
Huddle face. I bought that up. I said they're going to put advertising on. Well, on masks.
Arnie's convinced that we won't need masks in 3 days.
Yeah, so. I'm saying by July 1st, you're not going to see too many of that.
July 1st? You just told us it won't last more than a week.
Well, no, I meant the month of June. I'll give you the month of June, and then everybody will be, I'm done with this.
You're convinced we're going to be stuffing ourselves into concert halls within about a month.
I wanted to open up the restaurants. I wanted them back open real quick.
But you don't want to go to them yet.
I would go if they didn't keep it at like 25% capacity. If we could just let's all go in. And
if it was 100%. But see, you're the one who said, oh, I won't play pickup basketball for a little while. I won't go to the gym for
I got
a bit.
Invited yesterday. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago, Brady?
And you didn't go.
I got invited to play pickup basketball.
And you didn't.
With
where?
Friends. I didn't go. I was a little busy.
Where? Pomeroy?
That was one of the parks. I don't want to give out the park.
Oh, you don't want to give out the park?
It was Colchester Park. But there's no Colchester Park, from what I understand.
So they invited you to a place that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
You could take the hint, Arnie.
I was trying to figure out where the hell's Colchester Park, and there is none.
Why am I the only person here?
I really do think that. So, but before the show, like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can go to a gym just yet when it opens. So you're like, oh, I'll go to a restaurant, no problem, but you won't go anywhere else?
I'll play ball. I'll go to a restaurant. I don't like to eat with there's only going to be 25% of the
what
people.
What do you care? Who cares? The food's going to taste the same.
Yeah, but I like ambiance. I like everybody
people will be there. I mean, come on. How long are you going to wait?
I'll walk up and down Church Street and do all that. I don't care about, no, I'm not worried about Corona or anything like that. I'll walk up and down Church Street. I'll hug people. I just don't know if I'm not a restaurant type guy that likes to sit there for an hour. My mother-in-law will dine for 3 hours. It drives me crazy.
Well, good. That'll give people a chance to eat at your table after you've left.
I'm saying if you go to the restaurant with your wife, what do you care if there's 90 other people in there? Aren't you there to just be with her?
Yeah, but then you feel kind of. You want to hurry up as you're like, I'm taking up one table and there's only like five tables, and you want to.
Well, it's all reserved. I don't get your angle.
Really?
Here. No.
You don't understand.
Who cares? If you're having a meal, I love your favorite meal in the world. Like if I could go to the tour, have a tour of Italy at the Olive Garden. Hopefully that'll get
what
me
is
a
that? What does that have to, why is
no,
that
but
the
I mean,
bell?
I'm just saying, I'm talking about your
we're just
favorite,
ringing the bell anyway.
Well, I was hoping for a free certificate because I said them on the air.
Also illegal.
Yes, that
please
is
please don't
illegal.
Do that.
But foodola, we could call it. But my point being that what Arnie is saying, if I want to get my favorite meal, I don't give a bleep if people are sitting 10 feet away from me or 2 feet away from me.
I hate going to a restaurant. There's nobody there. I mean, maybe like one other table's full. And then, you're just not enjoying the whole ambiance, the crowd noise, the buzz of this restaurant. You don't get any of that. No, I don't. I got to have a little bit of.
All right. Well,
people to look at, talk at, say, look what that guy is eating. I want some of that. You know, come on.
It's not like they can't hear you from 10 feet away.
Gosh, no. You just want to. You know, I'll eat and leave, but, you know, give me somebody at the restaurant.
Meanwhile, the Giants have the 21st best pass offense in the league. We have 1 minute. Go.
No, we can go for a while here. You know what? Let's break now, then come back and talk about the Giants.
What were we supposed to talk about next segment, then?
Who cares? We'll just get to the Giants.
It might have been more interesting than the Giants.
No, the Giants are interesting.
All right. 802-655-6672. More Giants when we get back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Sports may be gone for a while, but we're right here with you, always.
You know, we're a family, and we're gonna stick together, and we're going to get through this.
It's back to the huddle with Handsome, Big Boy, and whatever Artie is on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game as we move along on this Thursday. Brady, let's get to some New York Giants stuff. What's going on there?
Pro Football Focus ranked the Giants the 21st best group of pass catchers in the NFL. So not just receivers, but all pass catchers. 21st best. That seems low to me. I actually like the Giants group of people that Daniel Jones can throw to. No, there's not a big star. There's not a dominant number one. But Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley, Deion Lewis, and then Darius Slayton. I think that if they're healthy, the Giants have a good group of pass catchers.
You know, if I'm going to be wrong, so be it, because I have no problem being wrong, obviously. But you two guys need to take a step back off this Giants team. Remember when I said they were going to win like four games?
Their defense is horrendous, but their pass catchers are good, I think.
No, but you were like, oh, Daniel Jones, this could be a good year and maybe 500 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I don't see it. I don't trust him. I don't trust the receiving core. You know, defense is suspect. I think it's going to be another crappy year. And now we know why it's going to be crappy. And I even told you, I said a long time ago, I said, you know, they don't have enough weapons other than Saquon Barkley. You know, the receivers are, and you're like, oh, man, you know, look what they're doing there. And they're making moves. And, you know, and I'm like, no, I just don't see it. Now, I think this is exactly where they should be ranked. I thought maybe they were actually going to be a little bit lower. But I don't think they have much offensive weapons right now.
It's so hard to tell because everybody was hurt at one point or another last year. Their leading receiver had 57 catches in Sterling Shepard. That's a low, low number for your leading receiver. They spread it out a lot because they threw to Barkley a lot, and Shepard only missed six games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking at their receiving stats. Top 10 receivers, not one of them played 16 games.
Brady, who would you rather be coming into this year? Stidham or Jones? And I'm not talking about rookie and not, but Stidham because he has a really good defense but no offensive weapons? Or would you want the offensive weapons that Daniel Jones has but a really horrible defense?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Mm. I would choose Jones. I'd rather have what Jones has around him than what Stidham has.
Not
the
much
defense.
Better. Not well, he does have Saquon Barkley, so I would probably say the same thing.
Yeah, imagine Barkley on the Patriots. What a difference that would make.
Not only that, but I'd go without. If I have to have a terrible defense, so be it. At least I have some weapons around me, though.
See, I just think the fact that the Pro Football Focus said the Giants, the reason why they were so low is because they don't have a number one. And they're right about that. They don't have no Julio Jones, no OBJ, no Larry Fitzgerald in his prime. They're a collection of just role-playing receivers. But I like the fact that there's a lot of them. There is some depth there. There's some diversity in the weaponry. Slayton can go long. Tate works short. Shepard works intermediate, short and intermediate. Barkley can work from all various different positions. Lewis can catch out of the backfield if he's playing.
Right.
Ingram. Because the thing that shocked me about this is they weren't grading just the receivers. They were grading all of the pass
tight
catchers.
And that's where they moved up in the thing.
And Ingram is good, and Barkley is good.
So if they went up because of Ingram and Barkley, and if they were just doing the wide receivers, they would have their wide receivers would be ranked no higher than the New England Patriots, because the Patriots weren't getting a lot from their tight end and Sony Michel. So I got to think that the only reason the Giants are that high is because of Barkley and Ingram, and not so much because of the wide receivers. They're probably lower than you think, Brady, when it's said and done.
We said this about the Patriots, and again, you could say it about every team, though. The Giants have to remain healthy.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened to them last year when they didn't remain healthy. And Jones still played well, at least in terms of putting up numbers. But Barkley was gone, and Tate was gone, suspended for a while, and Shepard was hurt, and Ingram was out for the season after about week 9 or whatever. There was just too much attrition there. Remember a couple of years ago, Beckham breaks his ankle and they had Brandon Marshall and he was gone. They were left throwing to Roger Lewis, Tavares King, and Travis Rudolph. Like, that's what you can't have if you're the New York Giants this year.
Over, wow. Under what week until the Giants say, we've had enough of Daniel Jones, get Cam Newton in here.
It's not going to happen. I mean,
Cam Newton's going to be signed by somebody, okay, I promise you that.
Eliminating Cam Newton from anything to do with the Giants, because I just don't – we've had this argument for how many months now. I think Daniel Jones has had a really good rookie year. How about promising rookie year, and I think he's going to build on it.
He's
got to keep his guys healthy, as you said.
If he didn't – fumble the football so much.
Yeah, but that can be fixed.
If he didn't fumble the football so much, he would have been rookie of the year, Arnie. Daniel Jones had better numbers than Kyler Murray in less games played.
Yeah, I was going to say it must have been a slim pickings then. You know what I mean?
But why do you think that Daniel Jones has no shot? Is it the players around him? Do you not like his receiving core?
One, it's the turnovers. I mean, there's nothing that kills.
But that's fixable.
No, it isn't, because what's his face? Who had the most turnovers in the history of fumbling? Wasn't it Steve Craig, the quarterback for the Seahawks? Or was a former Seahawk quarterback?
Jim Thorne, maybe?
Oh, no, Dave Craig.
There you go, Dave Craig. And he never stopped fumbling. I don't know if it was the size of his hands or what.
Tiki Barber fixed his fumbling problem.
Well, he's a running back, though. His arms are strong. Quarterbacks, we're not talking muscle. We're just talking the size of their hands. You can't turn the ball over fumbling like that. You just can't do it, Rich.
Brett Favre turned it over a bunch, and he was in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, Favre's a different story. Don't compare him to Favre.
Three-quarters of those fumbles were because the offensive line wasn't doing their job. They go out with a number four pick and grab Andrew Thomas. I mean, hopefully Solder's going to be better. He's a mess.
I will say this. I saw a couple of games of flashes from him, which is why I think he'll be a better quarterback than Stidham. But obviously we haven't seen Stidham. But I just don't like the weapons around him. And I think they're a last-place team, too. Well, them and the Redskins are a last-place team.
Brady. So who do you think's going to be in last place?
It'd probably be the Redskins. I would probably say the Giants are the third-place team.
You hate Daniel Jones because he didn't go to a blue-blood program.
Maybe that is one of it, but you don't have to go to a blue-blood program. I just don't like him.
There's a reason why you love Josh Rosen, you love Darnold, and you love Baker. You love all these guys that went to big programs. You hate Josh Allen, who went to Wyoming. You hate Daniel Jones, who went to Duke.
Well, but there's something to do that.
But yet you're the first one that always says, oh, you can find talent anywhere. I want to find the diamond in the rough.
I will give you credit on one thing. Guess who's being sought after in trade rumors is Josh Rosen from the Miami Dolphins. You wanted the Patriots to pick him up and make him. I think he's worthless now. I don't know why you'd want that guy, but you did say that you thought he'd be a good backup.
Better than Brian Lewicki and Brian
Hoyer. I have no idea. Who knows? I've seen Rosen. He doesn't impress me with anything. Guy's done nothing since he's been in the league.
The Giants also got ranked the 14th best offseason in the NFL. So just barely into the top half. You know what I keep forgetting about with the Giants, and I'm mad at myself for this, is I keep forgetting about them signing James Bradbury at defensive back. Because we always talk about how we were excited about the secondary. We always mention Jabril Peppers, and we always mention Xavier McKinney. James Bradbury was the top DB on the market this offseason, and the Giants wouldn't got him. So that's what doubly hurts with the DeAndre Baker stuff going on, is that you actually had a formidable four there, you hoped. Two DBs and two safeties, and with Baker out of the picture for now, we don't have that anymore.
I'm trying to remember, how did they draft defensive-minded? I know they drafted
the number four pick went to McKinney next.
Okay, so there's defense. The second one, anyway.
A bunch of linebackers.
Yep.
I'm still waiting to see what happens. We've asked people that have come on the show, what happens if, are we going to be ready for week one in the Meadowlands? Where are they going to play if the Jets and the Giants are going to have problems out there in New York? You know what I mean?
Somewhere in Florida. The answer is always Florida.
Yeah, it is. It's always Florida. I used to think there's no way that's going to happen. I don't know, man. I'm like starting to think 50-50 now that they may not be able to play there.
Well, I have no idea anymore because it seems like the politician side of things has loosened up in the last couple of days here as the political pressure mounts, as the public perception pressure mounts, and as the economic pressure mounts. So who knows?
Andrew in Richmond says, where are the Bengals offseason rank?
The Bengals were 12th.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you start with Burrow, you can't go wrong. Well, I mean, that's about as sure as it gets. He's not going to put up great numbers because of the team he's on, but I mean, overall, if you're talking about offseason moves, that's the number one move.
Mike in Plattsburgh said, Arnie, Eli had tons of turnovers, and he won two Super Bowls. Did Eli have a bunch of fumbles? Or maybe turn. Maybe he's talking about interceptions.
Let me look that up.
I don't remember. Well, maybe the bad years, but certainly not during those Super Bowl years. And please, when you compare Daniel Jones to Eli, why don't you just slap me in the face? You know, why don't you just do that to me? Because you're talking about a Hall of Famer against the guy who may be out of the league in 2 years. So stop that, please. You know, you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer. That's insane.
That's another one on my list of things I don't do is Eli a Hall of Famer, but he's a maybe Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Come on.
All right, 802-655-6672. 2 hours are in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. We'll get you ready for the Power Hour. All that's next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
Arnie.
Breaking news. Joe Burrow has 9-inch hands.
Rich.
You got a ruler? I've got sausage fingers.
Brady.
You know what they say about guys with small hands?
No.
Small mittens.
It's the huddle.
Burger King hands. Small hands.
Burger King hands.
The Burger King commercial where they say you got tiny hands.
On 101.3, the game. Wow.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game. It is the power hour of the show.
Beautiful, sunny Thursday out there.
That's right.
Whatever day it is. This week has been tough to keep track of what day it is for a nice reason instead of the coronavirus and quarantine. It's because the weather has been exactly the same every day.
I just gave your own personal PSA on why you should not be typing things as you do the update. So that was one of the worst updates in history of updates.
Oh, it's horrible.
It was awful.
Yeah. Chris says, LOL, Brady is cranky.
Brady's not.
That's two.
You don't write your updates out. You just rip it off the top of your head.
I said to him before the show today, I have no idea how in the world you do that off the top of your head. I would get 30 seconds at the most into an update and it just stop.
Yeah, no, I don't write my updates down. I just spit them off the top of my head. But,
I know.
But evidently, that's where it backfired on me as I was typing something in the distance and lost my train of thought. I didn't know it was Tom Brady's thing. It was called Man in the Arena. I only said it 900 times already today.
Can you explain to me why in the world a football player would call a documentary Man in the Arena?
I think it's an inspirational quote from Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, that's why they're doing that. By the way, remember the governor of Pennsylvania who ripped on Ben Roethlisberger for getting a haircut and all that?
Yes.
Clay Travis will have the governor on tomorrow at 8:20 Eastern. I can't wait to hear that. That's because Clay's been ripping him, man, just going crazy.
You'll have
to
set your alarm.
Clay is ripping anybody at this whole last 2 months.
It's interesting. So we'll see what he has to say to the governor. It's interesting. He gets these guys on. It's hysterical out there.
I've never related to anybody. I've never related to a dude more in the last 2 months of quarantine than I did this morning on the golf course.
Yeah.
So I'm on hole 8 this morning at Essex Country Club, and I snuck in a quick 9 before work, and a guy. All I hear in the distance is a guy just screams through the trees, "Mother effer!"
Oh, and 8 o'clock in the morning.
And I'm like, well, it was about 9:15 at that point. But but I'm like, see, these are the things you miss out on in quarantine. That guy, he and I are relating right now to the fact that he's just screaming at the top of his lungs.
I hear that all the time now driving around. It's great because everybody's got the windows down and everybody's angry and swearing at stupid brain-dead drivers.
Yeah, but this is why I don't play golf, because I do that and if I swing and miss, I don't count that as a stroke either. I'm just like, that doesn't count.
I swung and missed once.
Yeah,
you mean that counts?
Well, you're supposed to.
What if the air of the swing and miss blows the ball off the tee and goes an inch forward? Is that a shot?
I'll put it back up on the tee.
Okay, because I've done that 1,000 times.
Yeah, I'm not playing that game. By the way, we're off Monday. Very excited about it. I haven't had one day off in a long, long time.
So are you off from the national show?
Yes, it looks that way I am. It looks like I don't have to do a national show.
So you're doing what? Let's start as the alarm goes off.
The alarm will go off.
You don't have to tell us you're going to the pee and shower.
No, I will get up. I'll do my normal 5-mile jog, come back, relax a little bit, maybe do some more jogging later on in the afternoon. Go down. No, I may go down to the waterfront or go down to the bike path or something like that.
Yeah, good luck getting 5-6 feet away from everybody on Monday on the waterfront. It's going to be an absolute mob scene down
there. Yeah, I know. That's the only thing that bothers me.
I mean, I was out there today at mile 6 at the bike path, which is the Colchester end. There's not very often a big crowd down there. It was pretty mob.
Well, you guys hog it. You use it too much. We should, have you let the other people enjoy it instead of you going down there every day. You know what I mean?
I don't go every day.
Seems like you do.
5 days a week.
You do go a lot.
You go a lot.
I don't have a problem with it.
That's because that's the part that isn't crowded.
I have a problem with the people who don't social distance.
What, the bike path?
Well, the bike path is about, I'd say it's about 7 feet wide, so it's tricky. If you stay in the dirt on the side, you're okay.
Yeah, just, you know, follow social distance.
I didn't see one person on the bike path today with a mask. And I was out there for about an hour and a half.
It's hard to run or bike with a mask on. I understand that if you're walking, okay, fine.
Especially with glasses.
Yes. No, it's horrible. They fog up.
And you're outside, though, so you know you want to go ahead and breathe that fresh air. You don't want to be wearing a mask and stuff like that.
Especially lakefront.
Ugh. Gorgeous.
Where your brother's going to be living.
All right, Brady, let's get right out of Power Hour of the show. What do we got going on this hour?
Well, I want to get to this. So ESPN, we're talking about this with the Giants. ESPN ranked the Patriots as having the 30th best offseason in the NFL. So AKA the third worst. So the Patriots have the third worst offseason in the NFL. Let me ask you this, because we obviously know we hate the Brady left, how it went down, all that, what's left in the cupboard for Stidham. Is there anything in this offseason for the Patriots you've actually liked? Let's start there first because there's going to be less of it.
No, I don't think there is anything I like at all. They didn't get the quarterback that I wanted them to get. Well, not I, but that the Patriot fans wanted him to get as a backup to Stidham. They didn't go ahead and get him the big receiver like I thought they could get to give him another weapon. Matter of fact, I still think Edelman won't be on this roster, so there'll be less weapons out there. I thought they were going to go after another running back. I guess they're going to be okay with Sonny Michel and Harris?
Yeah, yes. Damien Harris.
And Harris.
Yeah, the great mystery, man.
No, what the hell did they do that I was supposed to be excited about? I mean, they gave some contract extensions and re-signed A. McCourty. I don't know, there's like 100. But other than that, they didn't do anything.
No, they didn't address their biggest problem, which is going to be the offense. I hope everyone's ready for a lot of 17-14 finals this year. It's going to be a very different experience. However, I like the kid from Alabama. I like Uche. I think he's going to be pretty good. But again, that's the problem with the whole draft. We're just guessing. That's all we're doing. Everybody's raving about Uche and saying that he's going to fit into the Patriots system. And Uche and Winovich together, a couple Michigan guys as linebackers, could be an interesting situation.
Yeah, I like that. You got to dig deeper for sure. There's less to like in this offseason, as evidenced by the third worst rating that they got from ESPN. But they kept their secondary intact by and large. They did trade Daron Harmon, but they've got the McCourties. They've got Gilmore still. They go out and they add to it with Duggar in the draft. They go get Adrian Phillips, who was a Pro Bowler special teamer, but can play in the secondary.
Yeah, but obviously they didn't like their draft. Look where they rated him, Brady, on that, you know?
I'm just saying, but if there's things to like in this offseason, the secondary, which was the best part of their defense, has stayed almost completely intact with the exception of Daron Harmon, and they have added to it. So if you're asking me to pick and grasp at straws of what was good about this offseason, I'm with you there on the potential defensive pairing of Uche and Winovich, and the fact that the secondary is largely intact, and that was already the best part of their team staying together.
Right, and the biggest problem everybody said is, wow, they lost Van Noy and Collins. That's a huge gaping hole, and that's where Uche again, just like so much on the offensive side of the ball, we're just assuming things. I mean, you certainly saw some possibilities out of Chase Winovich of some good things last year moving forward. But we don't know anything about Josh Uche other than that everybody's raving about him and that he's going to be a good fit. So we're taking guaranteed things that we already know. Sure things, Van Noy and Collins and Landon Roberts, which is not a small loss either, on both sides of the ball. And we're replacing it with guys that are unproven.
Especially from like a Division VIII school, right? Isn't that what that first round pick or second round pick came from?
I don't like that Duggar's 24 years old. He's 24 years old and he's going to be a rookie. So it takes him 2-3 years to get acclimated, and all of a sudden he's 27, and that's it? We're out of our prime already?
It's like me. I got out of college at 28 and wasn't really ready for anything. So,
When did you really get out of college?
Well, I started in 79 and graduated in 86, so I was 25. Yeah.
How did it really take you 7 years?
Did you go every year for 7 years, or did you get thrown out?
Oh, no. There was a lot of times I was doing full-time radio when I was at Linden, so I was only taking one or two courses. The idea, the strategy for Linden was to extend my existence at that school for as long as humanly possible.
Were you living in the dorms at 24?
No. No, I had 4 senior years, and only one of them did I live on campus. I just didn't want to graduate, so I would take, you know, 1 3-credit course for racquetball and move on.
What about all the other seniors that you live with, and they were graduating? Did you feel bad or anything like that?
I got to know a lot of seniors. And in about 5 years, I'm going to get to know a whole lot more seniors.
That is awesome.
Of a whole different ilk.
As far as the bad things go, I mean, there's a lot of it, right? I guess one more good thing. I just like the fact that they've gotten younger. I don't know how many guys will make the team, but when the Van Noys are gone, Roberts are gone, they're turning over the roster and they need to. I don't know if it'll yield to wins this year. In fact, I think it won't, but at least they're finally out of that curve where they're the oldest team in the NFL. Brady leaving is part of that, but there are others in there too that were up there.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody says, well, they need to fix their salary cap situation. They're so up against it. They got to fix that. They've got to get younger. So, I mean, if nothing else, they address those two needs, and they're certainly getting younger. And obviously it helps to get rid of a 42-year-old quarterback for that number. But so, you know, the problem is if you're going to do that, you don't want to go 5-11.
You do want to go 5-11. I'll tell you two reasons why. Obviously, you want to go ahead and get Trevor Lawrence. You want to be as far to that number one pick as you can. Two, if the Patriots finish, let's say, 6 wins, 7 wins, and they don't get even close to get to that number one pick, and they're going to do this for the rest of their existence because they have a quarterback that's below average, I could see Bill Belichick saying, you know what? I'm not signing up for this. I'm, 60, what is he, 68?
67,
yeah, but
68.
Does he want to go out as a 3-13 coach?
No, he wants to. He'll take that 1 year. If they have a bad year and they don't get Trevor Lawrence, maybe one more year, or it wouldn't surprise me if he just, at the blink of an eye, said, you know what? I'm done.
Time to go fishing.
I'm not doing this. I didn't get Trevor Lawrence. I can't rebuild with Stidham. I'm just going to go ahead and go off into the sunset. Probably not Brady, but I wouldn't shock me if he did, especially with everything going around with the coronavirus and stuff like that.
You know, I saw something interesting today. You mentioned Stidham being average or below average, whatever. I think it was one of the people over at Pro Football Focus who said, it's easier now than ever to just win with a, quote, passable quarterback, that you don't necessarily need a star, you don't need the number one pick, you don't need to spend all the money in free agency. It's easier to win now than ever with a passable quarterback. I disagree with that. I think you need a quarterback that is really good to great if you want to consistently win. I think the idea, you can do good things with a passable quarterback 1 year here and there as long as your schedule's set. Like Case Keenum could have a great year. But Case Keenum couldn't put together 4 great years in a row for Minnesota, and that's when they got rid of him.
But if you want a good quarterback, I won't even say great. You want a good quarterback? Take somebody like Dak Prescott, who supposedly is turning down $175 million for 4 or 5 years.
What a joke.
How much is that going to cost you, and then how's that going to affect everybody else on your team because you can't afford to sign anybody because you gave all the money to the quarterback? I like Tua. Hopefully he'll be just average to good, so he doesn't take up all that money, but you need to sign everybody else out there,
right? I mean, you look at the AFC East, and it's full of those quarterbacks that you described. You could almost say across the board, all 4 teams have exactly that kind of guy right now calling signals.
I mean, Fitzpatrick, you can win some games with, you can upset somebody with, but the Dolphins, you know, I don't think the Dolphins are going 10-6 habitually with him. I'll be interested in seeing what happens with Ryan Tannehill. I think Ryan Tannehill is an average to slightly above average quarterback. I don't see Tennessee all of a sudden winning 12 games for the next 4 years.
Well, they did have 10 wins because they have a great running back and a good defense.
Right. So yeah. I think they have the systems in place. The schedule worked to their advantage also. When they don't have some of those things this year and Tannehill's eating up more cap space, do we really trust that they're all of a sudden going to win 12 games with him?
Andrew says you could be the Bengals with a passable quarterback. Stupid. You need elite. People say you need elite quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, you didn't, once you had Russell Wilson, it was a whole different story. But then again, once he started making the money, Brady, that hurts the team and hamstrings
the team.
It does
hamstring the team. And look, I wish Russell Wilson made $15 million a year instead of $35.
Right. Right.
The Seahawks have Geno Smith as their backup. If Geno Smith is the quarterback for the Seahawks, they're winning 4 games.
Yep.
If Russell Wilson's there, they could win 14.
You know, if you took all the backups, he's not one of, he'd probably be in the middle of the backups.
Geno Smith is horrible. He's been horrible for a long time.
But there's a lot of worse backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Yeah.
I thought that Hoyer was going to be right in the middle of the pack. I would say that Geno Smith is lower than Hoyer.
That's fair.
There is no bigger drop-off from starter to same. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's 7 or 8 teams that have a big drop-off, but there's none bigger than Seattle.
First-time texter said, Pats will be fine. Belichick knows football more than the collective game brain trust. Addressed all the needs in the draft, tight end, offensive line, and linebacker.
So he's saying Bill Belichick is smarter than everyone who works at this station, which is everyone in this room.
That's hard to believe. That's hard to believe.
That hurts.
Nobody says, then the whole brain trust also in the NFL. We'll see. But just addressing those needs in the draft, that doesn't mean that's going to help this year. That's for sure.
Along the lines of quarterbacks and Stidham, did you hear what Colin said recently? He said this about Stidham, about Belichick, and about Tom Brady. Colin thinks that if if Stidham was so good that Belichick would have benched Brady last season for him. Listen to this.
So let me ask you this. Bill Belichick watched him all year. Tom Brady is now old and expensive. Wouldn't Belichick have said, why are we waiting for Brady? We got Stidham. The Colts bailed on Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck was still a college player. Bill Belichick, after Tom Brady won a Super Bowl versus Atlanta, had Jimmy Garoppolo. Brady was better then, younger then, and had just been the MVP of the Super Bowl. And Belichick was ready to move off him for Garoppolo. Brady's now older, off his worst season in years, and Belichick's like, is Tom going to resign? We got space for Tom. We'll keep Tom. Belichick watched it the whole year. He watched them every practice. He didn't blow them away.
So do you really believe that? I don't believe that for a second.
No, I don't believe it. First of all, he knew that Brady wasn't going to come back. It was going to be his final year anyway. Could you imagine trying to bench him during his swan song year and say goodbye? Plus, if they had beaten the Dolphins week 17 or 6, whatever the
17.
Hell it was. 17. They would have been with a 2 seed, right?
Yes. Yes.
So
get a bye week.
What the hell do you watch? You were one game away from being a 2 seed, and you know they would have made the AFC championship game. I think that's ridiculous for Collins.
I mean, what are you going to do, bench Brady in the final third of the season and put Jared Stidham in? Can you imagine the backlash?
And they started out, even if Stidham impressed him a ton, which maybe he did, but even if that was true, they started out 8-0. No matter how impressive your backup might be, you're not changing around an 8-0 team there.
But at the same time, Brady at 8-0 said, this is the most miserable 8-0 team I've ever... What did he say? It was something...
He just said the most miserable I've ever been being 8-0.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but I like that quote. Throw it out there. That sounds good.
Well, can imagine what he was for the second half when they went 3-5 or whatever they went.
When Joe Flacco got benched for Lamar Jackson, they were Joe Flacco was 4-5, but he'd also been 8-8, 9-7, 7-9 for the last couple of years before
that.
They were... The Patriots had won the Super Bowl the year before, and they were 8-0. I don't care how good Stidham is, just like Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes might have been great in camp, preseason, practice, but they had made the playoffs the year before with Alex Smith. They weren't just going to bench Alex Smith outright.
Maybe we shouldn't say so crazy. Would you say Stidham replacing Brady in the middle of the year, isn't that kind of like what Jones did to Eli?
But Eli had
in a little bit.
I mean, the Giants were 0-2. Jones replaced Eli at the beginning of the season.
Was Eli hurt?
The Giants were 0-2, and they took him out in second quarter, against Tampa.
You're right, 0-2, and there's a difference between the Patriots being 8-0. But I just meant replacing an icon in the middle of the year. I said they would never do that to Brady, but then again, they did it to Eli. If the Patriots would have started 0-4, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know if that would have been...
If the Patriots started 0-4, there's a different conversation.
Right,
but
right,
the Patriots were 8-0, so you can't even fathom that conversation.
No, absolutely. 8-0 is 8-0,
but I would never replace Brady. I'd go 0-16 before. I'd let him just say, this is your swan song, this is your final year. We're not going to make the playoffs. Have a great year, say goodbye to the fans, and that's it.
Well, keep in mind, Brady was ready to leave even at 8-0, and you could tell based on that quote we just mentioned about being so miserable. I mean, he was already halfway out the door at that point.
What about what first-time Texter just said? Instead of received a graduate degree in the NFL quarterback training, similar to Mahomes under Alex Smith.
Let's hope so.
Well, I thought Tom Brady said, Brady, that... Not my job to teach people, right? Not my job.
He did not say that. He just said he doesn't want to be a coach. Yeah,
I thought he did say that when it came to Garoppolo.
No, he didn't want to teach young receivers as much. He didn't. But again, I don't think it's his job, and I don't think he went out of his way to hold these people's hands. But he also didn't go out of his way to counteract them or sabotage them.
No, but when I talk about Stidham and being confident about him and saying, well, why bother drafting another quarterback or why pick up Cam Newton or whomever? I've felt this way all along. I think that year with Tom Brady, whether Brady's helping him or not, makes a huge difference because here's the system. Learn it and watch it and see it happen.
I want to see what the biggest thing Stidham's learned from Tom Brady. I want to see if we're going to see any similarities between Stidham and Brady, throwing the ball away, his demeanor, the way he talks to the media, something he's got to look at. Like Nuka Lewis learned from Crash Davis. He's got to learn something, Brady.
Well, it's also going to be interesting to see what that offense looks like. Because, Rich, you say, learn the playbook, and it's easy. You saw the Dolphins fire Chad O'Shea there.
I saw that, yeah.
They fired their offensive coordinator. Why? Because he was trying to instill the Patriots offense, which was way too confusing for the Dolphins to learn.
And the Dolphins had a good run at the end of the season.
But not with his offense. Fired him and put in Chan Gailey. Let's not just assume that just because Stidham's played 1 year with McDaniels and Brady that all of a sudden we're expecting it to run just like Brady. Colin continued on to say this.
Maybe he's the world's latest bloomer at quarterback. But, I mean, I can remember very early with Lamar Jackson, very early in college, people are being like, oh, that's Michael Vick. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. And people started arguing about him. He's good. No, he's overrated. He's good. He's overrated. If they're arguing about you, there's a buzz about you. Like, that means half the people are like, wow. And half the people are like, oh, overrated. There's not even arguments about Jared Stidham. Nobody's like, there's no pro-Jared Stidham or anti-Jared Stidham camp because there's no buzz. And I just kind of tend to believe if you got it, we'll find it. We'll hear about it if you're not playing.
I don't know if I agree. There's no buzz about
there is
Stidham.
No buzz
I
mean, about
the buzz,
it.
Well, the buzz, no. Certainly locally,
there's only buzz because he's replacing Tom Brady.
Exactly, buzz.
If he was replacing Ryan Tannehill or Fitzpatrick, you wouldn't be saying a damn thing about it.
That's all they're talking about in Boston media, mostly because there's no baseball, hockey, or basketball to talk about. But that's all they're talking about.
Because
Stidham blew his nose today. Here's the latest.
Not really. He's not being looked at like that.
No,
wait till he gets on the field.
I'm talking about Boston media. Yeah. They have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Rich, actually. And Arnie, I'm against you on this one. There wasn't buzz about Stidham coming out of the draft. We didn't look at his fourth round pick and say, oh my God, when you said Jalen Hurts, how did he fall to the second round? We didn't say that about Stidham falling to the fourth. No one was outraged then. But the minute that he got into Foxborough, we all started analyzing him and watching him because we knew what he could be, which is the replacement for Tom Brady. The buzz has been there for him locally. Like you said, we watched him in the preseason dominate. Everybody was talking about
it. That's what I was going to say. His 2019 preseason was outstanding. I mean, he was good. I understand that's against third stringers, but it's better than sucking.
People were paying attention to it.
Out of all the quarterbacks they've taken to replace Tom Brady, Stidham's the worst. You understand that, right? Garoppolo was one, and we've seen what he's able to do.
Ryan Mallett looked great.
Jacoby Brissett, another good quarterback, and has done pretty well, a lot better than Stidham. Stidham would get, if I said sign on the line here that you could have a year like Jacoby Brissett, he'd say, where do I sign? There's two quarterbacks that were better than him.
You're saying guys who are better than a player who has thrown four passes in the NFL.
No, we
have nothing to go on.
But I just said that the other quarterbacks they took to replace Tom Brady, both of them, one of them turned out to be really good, and the other one I would say is above average. Jacoby Brissett, a lot better. When they drafted him, I'm like, get out of here. What's wrong with you? A lot better than I gave him credit for sure.
Brissett has been fine, but Brissett has also been replaced now as the quarterback of the Colts for a 37-year-old who we think is done, Philip Rivers.
He's still a name, though. You know, he's still a name, and again, I could see why they made that move, Brady. You know, when you have a chance to get Philip Rivers, I understand that.
I don't hate Jacoby Brissett either. Yeah. If he was the backup for my Seahawks, I'd like him better
than
Geno Smith. But let's not act like Jacoby Brissett is this thing that Jared Stidham could only hope to be in his wildest dreams.
I think Stidham would take the stats that Jacoby Brissett had last year. I think he would take that type of year from them. Matter of fact, if he had that type of year, I'd be surprised.
And it was a little different last year for Brissett. I'll give him a little bit of leeway on that, and that he didn't know Andrew Luck was going to retire right before the season, and the team wasn't built for Jacoby Brissett.
He's a better quarterback than I think we all gave him credit
for. He's incredibly conservative, but he's fine. But he's a good backup. He's incredibly conservative.
Well, I still think that Stidham would love to have that type of year. 802-655-6672. Glenn said, I disagree with Colin, because even after Brady won his first Super Bowl, the fans were still split between Brady and Bledsoe.
I disagree with that. Everybody was going crazy about Tom Brady at that point. Don't you think? And plus, then Bledsoe took off to the Bills, so it was a moot point.
Yeah, but I don't think there was a clamoring to get Bledsoe back in there.
People in Boston, I think people in sports in general about their favorite team, love the new people. When they come in, the rookies, the phenoms. I remember the buzz around guys like Jacoby Ellsbury and Mookie Betts. Bring up these kids. They're hitting 350 in the minors, and they were replacing people that had been around for a long time, and nobody had a problem with it.
All right, 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, took a shot at Tom Brady earlier this week. He's got another shot at him in that article from earlier this week. Was Brady too paranoid in Foxborough?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
A laser thrown by Brady.
Tom Brady may have left New England, but don't worry, listeners. We're here to stay. It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
You're in the huddle. What do we play through the game on a what, Rich? Beautiful Thursday.
Beautiful Thursday. Yes, doesn't get any more beautiful. Name the artist.
I don't know this one.
I try to only do this once a month.
Yeah, I don't know this one.
Great guitar player. Are you going to go my way? You know this song.
Is it the guy that people say you look like?
I definitely don't look like
it's
this
not Carlos
guy.
Santana.
I wish I looked like him.
Jimi Hendrix.
No. Sort of a modern.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
More modern day Hendrix. Initials LK.
Liam Neeson. Actually, I think that's an N, isn't it?
No, you give up.
I give up.
All right, Lenny Kravitz.
I would never have guessed that, though. I never would have guessed that.
I should have gotten that. I was hoping it was going to be Eric Clapton for you, since you say people say you look like him.
So is that okay if I do that once a month?
Lenny, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Lenny Kravitz.
You're kind of like Lenny. He's Jewish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a big...
You both breathe.
Now, I'm going to say something. I don't know if this is true.
No, that's all right. Most things you say, we're not sure if they're true.
Lenny Kravitz's parents, weren't they actors on the Jeffersons? The sitcom TV show?
I have no idea. The time
I feel like that's true because I feel like you've said that before.
Have I said that before? I think one was like played Tom Willis. Or maybe that was a real... I don't know. You'll have to look that up. I thought I read that somewhere.
Most things that you've said on this show, you've said before.
50-50.
He's the only child of actress Roxy Roker.
Yes, she was on... Yes.
And yes. NBC TV news producer Cy Kravitz.
Roxy Roker used to be on that sitcom show. On the Jeffersons? Yes, yes.
Kravitz is the second cousin of TV weatherman Al Roker.
Oh, wow.
Oswego's finest Al Roker.
How funny is that? You learn something new every day. Oh, his mom was married to Tom Willis. Yes. That was the interracial marriage.
What'd you talk about, Willis?
Yeah, that was the interracial marriage that they had on the Jeffersons. Oh, yeah,
Archie loved that, didn't he?
Well, that's a different show, but yes, I know what you mean.
It was a spinoff. No, but remember when Mr. Jefferson would walk into Archie's house? You might as well be Archie.
Archie Bunker would not be made nowadays. Oh, I promise you that. That show would not be on.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't last one episode before the politically correct would have it shot into space.
Yeah. And it was so popular back then. Gosh. Now you couldn't make it.
My mother would be crying in her chair watching that show that she'd be laughing so
Not anymore.
All in the Family?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
Is that the one
with the fat balding guy?
Yes. Carol O'Connor. Yeah. And Jean Stapleton,
She
passed away a long time ago.
Hey, Archie!
She was great. They were both very good for those parts, though. Meathead, what was his father?
Rob Reiner.
Yeah, his father was the big movie guy.
Yeah, and Sally Struthers.
So there you go. They're all big stars out there. All right, Brady, what do you want to get through here?
All this because I asked you about Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, well, I threw it into that.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about TV from the 70s. You got anything on Welcome Back Cotter, WKRP in Cincinnati?
Welcome Back Cotter, I told you, is the coach in Fast Break, the movie I want you to watch for Movie Madness, but we're not going to do that now.
Let's talk about Tom Brady instead. Yes,
Mr. Cattell.
Yes.
Hey, we're not watching a movie this week, by the way.
No, we aren't, yeah.
Because we don't have a show on Monday.
That's right. I love it.
So we have no Michael Jordan and no movie and that's no true. Sports.
So that
stay tuned for Tuesday.
We're going to Jess's Lake House, and I'm just going to be no cell service for a couple of days.
Oh, you can't get anything there? You can't like even walk a block or something?
Perfect.
I could walk a half mile and get service, but I don't think I want to.
Now, is the lake house in this state, or is it somewhere else?
I'm not disclosing.
You won't even say it's in this state?
No, it's in the Adirondacks.
Oh, okay. Oh, but, what a great place to be this weekend.
Don't worry. I will not be around anybody, so I will not need to. You will not need to worry about me quarantining when I get back.
You got
to
be careful going there, because the locals there knocked down a tree and blocked the road because they didn't want anybody coming in. I'm being honest. I'm not kidding around. They did that. They blocked the road.
Those
and
crazy
they didn't want anybody
Saranac
there.
Lakers.
Hey, you don't know what's happening there. That's for sure.
I saw some angry tweet today from someone in New York City that said, "Hey, Vermont, we don't want you in our city when this whole thing's done either."
Not a problem.
Real quick, Chris brings up a good point. Are we going to have the Mickelson Tiger Golf Tournament on? Right.
Not on our station, okay. But we will be. I will be watching it. That's what I'll be watching this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah. So that's your Tuesday topic right there.
I want to hear. I just want to hear Brady talk trash.
Yeah, that's must-see TV. When is that?
Saturday at 2, I think.
I am shocked with. And this is ESPN?
No, TNT.
Oh,
TNT,
okay. Yeah. Because I haven't heard a thing about that. I was shocked when I heard it's coming up this weekend.
What are you talking about? We had the whole. Was that a press conference they did with Peyton Manning ripping on Tom? And
right, but what have we heard since? I found out this afternoon that this event is taking place this weekend.
Well, I didn't even know it was this Saturday. I thought it was Sunday. I don't know
exactly. No, it's the 24th, so that's Saturday, right? Okay.
No marathon this Friday.
The 24th is Sunday.
Because Monday's a day off. Okay, so.
Okay, so it's the 24th. All right, sorry, I thought it was Saturday. But
that's okay. I mean, I want to watch it. I just... You know, because I don't have anything. If you're telling me the NBA playoffs are on and the NHL playoffs are on and baseball was going on, I wouldn't be watching. I'd maybe flip through it, but I wouldn't be watching it.
Of course, I wouldn't be watching it. But you know what? They wouldn't be having it if that stuff was going on.
But that's true, too. Right, of course.
Rams fan Ralph, still in recovery, says he doesn't want you over in his state.
No outsiders.
No outsiders.
It's barely in New York.
How quickly they turn.
Wait, how are they doing to Ralph? It's barely... I won't be seeing anybody. Won't be around anyone. It'll be back here.
Oh, I love it.
And you'll be happy, Rich. You don't have to hear any emails from me or any topic ideas.
Oh, that's too bad. Especially on Monday when I care so much about sports.
I'm going to go through... I can't wait to just have a beer this week and a cigar. I want to have a cigar. I haven't had a cigar in a long time.
I'm going to a social distancing porch party in Swanton.
So that sounds like fun.
Does that mean like one person at each four corners of the porch?
Yes. No, it's a huge porch.
Oh, really?
And a bunch of people who can talk really loud. So we'll hear each other. It'll be like having Arnie in the group.
You should grab grab a microphone and just, megaphone rather.
I was going to say, I should just tape the whole thing and play it back as part of Movie Monday. We'll call it We'll call it Terrifying Tuesday.
I want you to just tape the party and we'll play back some of the best cuts from it.
You have to do that.
Especially after about 4 hours.
Four beers.
Yeah, 4 beers in 4 hours.
Were these friends that you have from the poorhouse?
No, they're friends through Elaine because she's a Franklin County girl. Okay, always has.
I was about to say, because you don't have a lot of friends. So.
Oh, okay.
Just being honest.
Well, Rich has a lot of acquaintances, but he says that he said, 281 people wish me happy birthday. I don't know 281 people.
Certainly don't know those people.
Well, your best friend is called Hey You, because you don't know anybody's name.
I don't know. I use Bud a lot. Hey, Bud.
Hey, you.
And Bud. What do you use for when you have no idea who this person is?
Oh, I just go, hey, good to see you again.
If I'm with somebody else, I'll say, hey, Brady, introduce yourself to...
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I hate that when they say, hey, Rich, how you doing, man? I'll be like, hey, Bud.
How the hell are you doing?
Sometimes, or usually I'll get a text from someone I don't know. I'll just say, got a new phone. Who is this?
Some guy's like, hey, on Facebook, he's like, you remember me? I used to be your producer in Chicago. Like, I have no clue who you are. I usually know all my producers. I have no idea who you are.
Uh-oh, now Jason's on me. He says, Rich, I wished you a happy birthday on Facebook.
Yeah, he says, you've been friends for 4 years.
Rams fan Ralph says, Farkas, you don't know how to enjoy a cigar, LOL. He spelled my name wrong. If you're going to rip me, at least get my name somewhat close to right.
Give him a break. He's been through a lot.
I don't smoke cigars. I don't do that.
I usually smoke Black and Milds because they go quick, I haven't smoked a real cigar, though, in like... 6 years. Probably.
How much you spend on the cigar? Like $2-3?
The Black and Milds are like $4.99 a 5-pack.
Dad used to get Bering Plazas. They were 35 cents.
Yeah, I mean the Black and Milds, Swisher Sweets, they're incredibly cheap. Jason,
Jason says we've been friends for 4 years.
Wow. And you did them like that?
Now, is that horrible. Facebook friends, or have we been like hang out and drink beer at the poorhouse friends?
Jason was at, Jason came to our remote in Plattsburgh at the,
Probably wasn't at.
You weren't at it. No. It was a Friday. The Yankees were playing the Twins. Arnie, what is that place in Plattsburgh we did the show at that was so much fun? It was like the old military barracks place.
Yes, the old place. I know what you're talking about. I remember that. Place. Yes. It was good, though. It was nice. I liked it.
Wow.
I forget the name. Jason. I don't know the name.
Rams fan Ralph says, miss you too, Brady.
Was it called the White Owl?
No, it wasn't. Jason and Wilson will remember it. It's awesome because our old sales guy, Nick from Plattsburgh, he's the one who set it up. And why can I not remember
Valcor.
Yes, Valcor Brewing Company. Yes.
It just popped in my head.
Everything's called
that, or I just read it because Ram Fan Ralph sent it in.
And Ram Fan Ralph was there too.
Yes, he was.
He outdrank everybody.
He was
there.
Boozing like a knucklehead. Oh my goodness, I remember that. Just drinking straight whiskey or something like that. I love that. He said, "The hell,
Brady,
with it.
Your mom won't let you smoke." Is that true? He's talking about cigars, I think.
I have no idea what that means.
You know, it means because you were just talking about how you smoke cigars.
No, but I don't know why he's saying my mom wouldn't let me smoke. Well, I don't get it.
Oh, I don't know. Did she say that during our family time Friday?
My mom used to get mad at me drinking beer when I was 13.
I know, you could have like 3 of 6 Michelobes.
Yeah, she said, well, if you're going to drink, you drink vodka. Have some class.
At 13.
At 13. She said drink vodka instead
of
beer.
You had a rough upbringing.
Yeah, vodka is class? I think it depends on what kind of vodka you're having.
No, just vodka in general. She's like, you drink beer, that's so cheap. You drink vodka, that's classy.
Not the vodka that you would have drank. Like Mike
Smirnoff?
Smirnoff. My college roommates used to drink Fleischmann's. That was like, and I don't drink vodka I drink rum.
They drink margarine?
They drink Fleischmann's. They were like, it tastes like rubbing alcohol.
Well, that's like, I think the cheapest one was Pop-Off or something like that.
I don't know.
Old Mr. Boston.
Gosh. A lot of booze.
The worst alcohol I ever had in my life, my 21st birthday, my roommates got me Barton's rum. That was the worst stuff I've ever had. That was like lighter fluid.
It just sounds like generic crap. Ugh.
Jason said he drank right near you, and you don't remember him.
No. Well, I'm sorry. And once at the poorhouse, he said.
No, that
once?
That's very upsetting.
I'm there
Rich.
Once a day. look at the text coming. It's so funny. We talk about sports. Everybody's like, yeah, whatever.
Ty says, it's even worse when a woman comes up to you and you have no idea who she is.
Don't you remember we used to date for like a year and a half?
I think don't you remember we hooked up and you told me you'd call me again, but you never did? Like, I think that's more of where he's going.
And your
going.
Name is what again?
Oh, wow. Can you imagine doing that?
By the way, Ben and Allberg, go to Garcia's on Church Street. Huge selection of cigars. Yes, that's good. That's like the tobacco smoke shop, I think. It does look good. Yeah. It's got the logo of the guy with the mustache.
Oh, well, by the way, since you're bringing up cigars, that used to be a big sponsor for the NFL show. Remember?
And definitely for baseball.
No, for Jimmy the Greek, Dutch Master Cigars. Oh, yeah. And in the promo, they'd show you the package of the cigars, and they put his face with the other guy's face on that thing. They were like the number one thing. Now you could never use them.
Remember all the cigar ads on the billboards on the outfield fence at places like Ebbets Field, and it just seemed like cigars were like every other ad.
Yeah, this is making a comeback.
This is the show for anybody born between 1950 and 1964. We've talked about Gilligan's Island. We've talked about. This, we've talked about All in the Family. This is good. This is good. We're getting a new demo today.
802-655-6672.
No, it's fine. I'm
Let's
just saying.
Let's talk about rap.
No, it's history. It's good. It's a history lesson. So I haven't been able to go to a museum in a while, so I figured that we'd do.
See, there's another subtle little slap.
I'm just kidding.
It's not even subtle.
Hey, can we do the thing we teased?
Yes, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady briefly.
Yes.
Because I just think this is laughable. So Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal earlier this week said that Brady had checked out in Foxborough as early as 2018. He also said that he's, quote, too paranoid in New England. He was so worried about beating Bill Belichick to the punch and not wanting to get run out of town that he was constantly looking over his shoulder. Do you buy that, Arnie?
Yes, I do. I totally buy that. And some of the little things that he said about that, what was it, not being voted the practice player of the week ever in his entire life or something like
that? He didn't complain about that.
No, yes, he did, though. He brought it up, and you say, oh, that's no big deal. But when you have underlying thoughts when you say stuff like that. I think Brady always was looking over his shoulder with Belichick standing there. I think his father knew it wasn't going to end up well for him, and I think he probably told his son that. I could totally believe him not being comfortable in his own skin as long as Bill was around.
I think a lot of it is speculation, but at the same time, I also believe that he became less and less comfortable. I think that it's not a coincidence that he didn't go to those last two OTAs in 2018 and 2019. I think he was stepping away. I don't think he was stepping away as quickly as a lot of media people do, but he was definitely checking out slowly. But the reason why it's so hard to believe he was checking out, because he then went on to win a Super Bowl followed by a 12-4 season. We discussed this yesterday.
I don't think Brady was looking over his shoulder last year, because Brady said, I knew before 2019 it was my last year there. So he had already made up his mind that right. he was going to leave. So therefore, the only thing that he could have been worried about was being benched. And I don't think Tom Brady was ever worried about being benched for Jarrett Stidham.
I think he was more worried about...
Like he was not going to get... Once he decided in 2019, I'm not coming back right. here anymore, there was nothing more to fear about your future other than being benched in that season. And when the team is 8-0 and the team is playing well and they're running through everybody, I don't think there was ever a real fear that he was going to be benched.
No, but I still think that he was looking over his shoulder. And like I said, I don't think Bill and him had the... relationship that all you guys are making it out to be. That's why I would love to see the real 9-part series on Tom Brady and find out the real truth. And because I think there was a lot more animosity between him and Bill than he's letting on and that Bill's letting on. It was not always kumbaya. You know what? I don't know what he could have done to Tom. As you mentioned, they started off 8-0, but maybe not so much last year, but maybe the year before, whatever it was. I think that Tom always felt insecure. Maybe he had no reason to, Brady, but I always felt that he felt a little insecure there.
You know what? The one thing I want to see more than anything in the next year's docuseries with Tom Brady is he and Belichick sitting down in that office and talking. That, to me, is what is he going to allow to be shown? Do you get the feeling they were screaming and yelling at each other? I would imagine they had some very testy situations.
I don't think that this is going to be behind-the-scenes footage. I think this is all going to be stuff that's shot. From now until next year. I don't think it's going to be 20 years worth of footage.
That was part of the charm of The Last Dance.
Too bad. Remember when we said Michael Jordan said break because he was getting a little teary-eyed. Yeah. Maybe they were talking about his dad or whatever. I don't remember what it was.
They were talking about the price to win.
Didn't Tom say he was crying with Kraft? What he said? I want to see that footage. Yeah.
I don't think that's out there.
But I want to see them all all crying and rubbing their eyes and getting just really bawling. But see that, if you could show me any footage, Brady, that's the one I would love to see.
I believe you that Brady has been insecure. I agree with that. Yeah. I think he was insecure about Garoppolo. I think that's why he wanted Garoppolo gone. It's why Kraft ultimately got rid of him. So I agree with you. I will consent that he's been insecure in his career about where he stands with Belichick, especially as it relates to Jimmy G. But last year, he said, look, I'm going to leave on my own. I'm done. So there was nothing more to fear last year.
Unless he just had it in his mind. Maybe he felt he had something to fear and it was just all in his mind. 802-655-6672, the 4-minute football fix last week.
It's just going to be last week.
It doesn't matter because all it is all the texts that are coming in regard scotch, vodka, and cigars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get the last story stated.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 of the game.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, let me get a couple stories in Last Story Standing. I know Mr. Barksdale and my other dog Stanley cannot do this, but a dog owner actually taught her dog to perform CPR in just 45 minutes after she saw the trick on Crufts.
I don't know what Crufts is.
I
don't
know. TV show or something?
Maybe a video or something like that. So she has a boxer that's 3 years old. It took the dog 45 minutes. She'll lay down, pretend like she's unresponsive or something. The dog will come up and start pushing down, giving CPR on her chest and stuff
like
that.
Hopefully it's a big dog because you're not going to get a lot of force out of a poodle. Oh, a boxer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you believe that? You think you could teach a dog to do CPR in like 45 minutes?
I think a dog breathed in the same way that a human would need
to. Do you really want a dog practicing by locking its lips on yours? really?
They say a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's,
which
I've always found hard to believe.
You know, there was this one dog that could spell its name by using blocks. And the name of the dog was Penny, and it would bring the P, the E, the N, the N, the O, I.
Can Barksdale do that, or is that too long?
No.
Can Barksdale just follow simple sit and stay commands?
Yeah, he'll come to me and bark like crazy because he wants blueberries. So I have to go ahead and get him blueberries.
Good, he's eating healthy.
This is unbelievable. Here's our next billionaire. He goes to the University of Utah. He's an engineering professor, Masoud Tabibazar. He has invented a quarter-sized device that plugs into your phone. You sneeze into the phone, and it will tell you if you have coronavirus.
Oh, you think that guy's about to make some money?
He's going to be a billionaire. What is it? It's going to hook up to your iPhone, and everybody's going to have it.
Do you believe that it's? Is it an app?
No, it's going to be. It's not an app. It's going to be a quarter size device that plugs into the phone, into your charging port.
I'd like to know if it's actually if it works.
Well, if it does, he just won the lottery.
You better believe that. Wrap it up, Brady. What's going on?
Well, how about you just ask Rich to wrap it up so that
wrap
way,
it
Rich,
up, Rich.
Tell us what's on the radio tonight.
2009 NFC Championship game, Saints and Vikings.
I can't wait. I've always wanted to hear that one again.
The final game of Brett Favre's career. 8 o'clock kickoff on the game.
So that is again our classic NFL rewinds. 8 o'clock, 2009. NFC Championship game. You missed any of the show, you can find it. Full show podcast available, 1013thegame.com, the 101.3 The Game app, or Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. A lot of people have been listening to us after the show on all those various podcast mechanisms, so appreciate everybody that does. Always continue to follow 1013thegame.com as well. We'll see you tomorrow.
See ya!